Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Baseball tonight. Reds visit the Phillies at 7:10. Philly took Tuesday's series opener 4-1 behind 14 punchouts from Zach Wheeler. Redlegs 8 games out of the third NL wildcard spot. Guardians visit the Twins at 7:40. Minnesota won 3-1 Tuesday, handing the Guards their third straight loss. Cleveland trails first place Chicago by a game for first in the AL Central. Around the league Tuesday, Yankees became the first team in AL history to strike out 17 times in back-to-back games, while Tyler Tolbert of the Royals tied an MLB record with a hit in 12 straight plate appearances. NBA, per reports, all-star Chris Middleton agreed to a three-year deal to return to the Wizards via sign-and-trade with the Mavericks Tuesday. Also part of the deal, former Buckeye D'Angelo Russell and Columbus native Caris LeVert. This update sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty. Get a cash offer today by calling 614-470-2000.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome back into another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. To my right again today is a national champ in Olin Tangi's own Joshua Perry, JP.
Welcome back, man. How we feeling today? You good?
Feeling pretty good.
Good. Great to
see
you.
That's all you got?
Okay,
that's
feeling all I got. Good.
Great.
Look who's back. Look who has
back again.
Swam his way back into his fish tank over there. TLC back in the house after a couple days off.
Curious what kind of takes we get today.
So, man, how you been? What's been going on?
I'm good, man. It was weird coming in on a Wednesday. I was talking to Isaiah, and he was talking about how he's got the joint bachelorette trip coming up. He's like, yeah, it's in 2 days. And I'm like, why are you having it in the middle of the week? And he's like, it's Wednesday. And I'm like, that actually makes sense.
Uh-huh. You were out in Oklahoma, correct?
I was. So that would have been a quick Friday morning to Sunday morning.
Okay.
A brief 48 hours, but enough stimulation to drain the social battery.
What part of Oklahoma?
Norman. Okay, Chris's mom lives in Norman, so we were there.
Stuff everywhere. I'm assuming.
Dude,
everywhere.
I forget who I showed. Maybe it was Fish. I showed, like, her stepdad has a giant, like, the block OU on his arm.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a lot of family time for that. And then knocking out some checklists the past couple days. Okay. Being productive on my off days, okay, but still.
What's on the checklist? Love Island.
Love Island was on the checklist. And, you know, I checked Island. It off twice. One for Monday, one for Tuesday. So, I got both of those.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of. It was productive, but also like letting the social battery build itself back up the past couple of days.
It's good to see you, man. I'm glad you're back in the building. Hope everybody's having a nice start to their Wednesday. Here's the lineup for today. Bottom of the hour. Every Wednesday we do it. Adam Schefter will stop by to talk everything happening around the NFL. 1:30, Jonah Booker, a.k.a. J-Book on Twitter, who covers Ohio State for Bucknuts at 24/7. He will stop by to talk, obviously, all things Scarlet and Gray. And then at 2:30, Bobby Carpenter will stop by as well. You miss any of that, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3 will be waiting there for you. And we have a giveaway again today, JP. We ain't messing around. Winner is going to receive a family four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals, July 10th through the 12th at the Ohio Expo Center. You can check out over 6,000 of the country's coolest hot rods, muscle cars, trick trucks, customs, and more. So you never know when we're going to give that away. If you're interested, stick close. We have a family four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals. So, JP, what's going on today, man? Let's get into it. You started off, you know what I mean? A little measured there. That's not the JP we need. I need JP at full tilt.
All right. Let me give you tilt take here. We were talking yesterday. I'm going to give you another nasty food take. The cottage cheese, applesauce, sprinkle of cinnamon combination. You should try it.
That's a double tech right there.
That's
a double tech right out of the gate.
You wanted JP. You're
cottage
getting it.
Cottage cheese and applesauce concoction is, it can't be good.
So if you are on a health journey and you're looking for a sweet treat, but you're trying to hit some macro goals,
that'll scratch the itch is what you're saying.
Oh, 100%.
Okay. See, usually when I'm in that lane, I go to fruit. I try to scratch the itch that way. I can't do cottage cheese.
Why not?
It's the visual part and the texture part for me that I just cannot get over. I'm a very immature eater. I can't eat guacamole based off of the look alone,
all
JP.
Right.
So that's where I'm at. And I'm admitting it's a very immature thing.
I struggle with people who have textural hangups on food. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But I struggle because, like, just eat it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's a mental block. I'm toughing
up a little bit.
It's a mental block. Okay, I got to get a little tougher.
So I can imagine how those conversations go with your kids. Just eat it.
You know, they're both of them are fine. James went through a little phase where he wanted to start getting picky on us, and we just kept putting the food on his plate, and eventually they start to eat it. Charlotte is 10 months old, and she actually, like, we brush her teeth and everything, but she's getting to that age where she's now starting to eat, like, real food.
Okay.
So her breath is kicking in the morning. Like, this morning, I was holding her.
Morning breath was just God,
I'm like, somebody give this baby a mint. But she eats anything.
That somebody is you.
Yeah, well, so the first food that we gave her was ribs. I had some city barbecue.
Yeah.
And I just handed her a rib, and she enjoyed it. She eats pickles, she eats olives. Okay. We had taco bowls last night for dinner. She was eating that. She's cool.
Okay, so she's just chilling.
Yeah.
That's easy. That's easy for you to figure out because you are the chef of the household, correct?
Yeah.
So you're in the kitchen every day getting busy.
Maddie cooked last night.
She did?
Yeah.
What was on the menu?
She chefed up we had ground turkey, put the taco seasoning on it. She threw rice in the rice maker.
Shout out to Maddie.
That was
got
dinner.
It done. She got it done. You brought up something. I love asking people this question because you mentioned your baby, the breath was kicking in the morning. In normal conversation amongst friends, colleagues, whatever it may be, if you're interacting with someone you work with and you realize the breath is just on 10, do you say anything?
So I'll share more details, but I've run into this more times than I would like to admit with people that I've worked with. I'm somebody who I brush, mouthwash, and I chew mint and gum throughout the day because I'd never want to offend anybody. I'll offer the stick of gum.
Okay.
I won't just be like, your breath is hot, but I'll be like, would you like a piece?
Okay. So maybe what I usually do is, because I love that, I'll just bust out the pack of gum. I'll have one myself, and then I'll just say, hey, are you interested? You want a piece of gum? Just kind of a loophole in the system without saying, hey, your breath is kicking right now.
I feel like anytime somebody offers you a stick of spearmint, peppermint, you should probably accept
it. Take the hint.
Yeah.
You should probably take the hint.
They're not doing this out of generosity.
Please tell me you are a guy that has a cap on your toothbrush. I brought this to the show a couple weeks ago,
so,
and there were people hitting me up that don't have that, and I
don't.
I was concerned.
And I'll tell you the reason why I don't.
You got the distance between?
We have a separate water closet. The toilet has a door that you can shut. It's in a different part of the bathroom.
Wait, what did you call it? A water closet.
Yes.
That just sounds rich.
It's not. It's just it's what TLC, it's called.
A water closet?
That's what it's called.
Sounds bougie.
Very much so.
The WC. And so, since we have a door.
Okay.
You're protected from it. I get what you're getting at. Yes. You don't want the particles kicking around.
I saw like a YouTube breakdown of like just the scientists just highlighting all the particles that are in the air when you don't have a cap on your toothbrush and to think that people don't and they're putting that in their mouths every morning.
So
scary out here, man.
One of the things I appreciate about my son is that we're potty training him. So after he uses the toilet, he shuts the lid every time. So when he flushes, there's not a whole bunch of stuff escaping. Yeah, yeah, and I really like that about him.
It's good discipline, man. You're on your way. You're on your way.
You know what?
He's learning. On his way.
He's learning.
Your kids are on their way. Man. The Perry household is just in order right
Trying
now.
Trying to get
man.
Right.
It's in order right now. Where were you 16 years ago to the day? Do you remember? Probably not, but that's okay. But
no
maybe
idea.
The memory.
I remember the feeling
of the decision can take you back to where you were because that's where we are right now. And I know this is a bitter thing with where we're doing radio, but let's just hop in the hot tub time machine a little bit and go back to 16 years ago to the day.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Why?
like I said before, I feel like it's going to give me the best opportunity to win and to win for multiple years. And not only just to win in the regular season or just to win 5 games in a row or 3 games in a row. I want to be able to win championships, and I feel like I can compete down there.
It's one of those deals where I can remember exactly where I was and who I was with when that moment happened. I was with two of my friends that I play baseball with. Two of them diehard Cleveland fans. One of them even at the time had on a LeBron jersey. He says the South Beach line. That jersey immediately comes off and ended up in the trash. And then after that, we saw all the videos of people burning the jerseys and all that. But that's crazy that we're 16 years to the date of that decision, and we are maybe a couple days away, a couple weeks ago from him circling back around and rejoining the Cleveland Cavaliers. The latest JP last night, Shams Charania of ESPN reported the front runners right now. It's Miami, Cleveland, and it's Philly. So they're right there in the mix. Everything that I'm hearing from the, quote, people in the know, the Wendy's of the world, Zach Lowe's of the world, Bill Simmons of the world, is the lean is Cleveland at the moment.
And keep so leaning.
I feel like
keep
that's leaning. Where this is headed. I feel like that's where this is headed. You kind of get the storybook ending. And just the recruit, another summer of LeBron is just, it's insane that we're here. It's insane that we're here. And I here's what I like this time. Things are so much more public out in the eye as far as Rich Paul, his agent on a whiteboard, Bob Myers talking to Max Kellerman yesterday about selling him on why he should come to Philly. It's all crazy.
It's an insane world that we've got agents doing podcasts and front office people going on the shows and making pitches. I love it. I just never would have imagined that we could actually get to that place.
And the front office member in Bob Myers was the same guy that was running the show in Golden State, where Golden State and Cleveland were going at it in the final. So it's just crazy how everything's coming full circle and all of this. But that is the latest. Final three looks like it's Cleveland, Miami, and the Philadelphia 76ers. Coming up, what type of impact has Jared Verse made in Cleveland since becoming a Brown? The new defensive coordinator for the Brownies will tell you next. We're Rothman and Ice.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube, weekday morning starting at 6. If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate. If you're a fan of Jeff Goodoff, drive directly to a hospital. Seriously, the Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll keep that mix of sun and clouds going for the rest of the day. It's a warm one out there with highs in the upper 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, lower 70s. Then for your Thursday, partly sunny skies once again. There may be a few showers and storms out there later on. Otherwise warm, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Matty was a big Browns fan. Scratch that, we mean he's a big fan of the former Browns. The Baltimore Ravens. This is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Bottom of the hour, Adam Schefter will join us. Talk all things National Football League. So the Cleveland Brownies getting ready for life without Myles Garrett. A lot of new going on up in Cleveland. New OC, new DC, new head coach, all of that stuff. And one of the guys that's going to have a lot of attention on him is going to be Jared Verse, just to see what he can provide right out of the gate. Massive, massive shoes to fill, as we all know. Probably impossible to fill those because Myles Garrett is a all-time pass rusher, one of the best to ever do it. And so, JP, when the trade went down, my thought process was, if you are always going to be in the headspace of, hey, he's got to be Myles Garrett, he's got to be Myles Garrett, or even close to Myles Garrett, I think you're going to be let down.
Right.
Because those guys are few and far between.
I agree. I also think if you've watched Jared Verse, you understand that he is a very good young player. But his pass rush tree is nowhere near complete. He is a guy who reverts to the bull rush a little bit too much for me. He's really good at it, but I think over the course of a career, guys are going to just start to anchor down on you.
Expand the bag.
You got to get a few more moves in the tool bag. So I think that's where his evolution happens. I don't think he's going to be Myles Garrett. I don't think you can expect that.
Right.
But I do think that there is a ton of upside here, but there might be some, we'll call it growing pains, but I think you're going to have to be a little bit patient because he's still got to mold his game. He's a young player.
I think that's fair. So Mike Rutenberg comes in from Atlanta. He was the defensive pass game coordinator for the Falcons in 25. He was with the New York Jets as their linebacker coach from 21 to 24. And so now he's got full control of this defense. And here he is on some of the early impressions Jared Verse made.
I wish all the fans could see my first FaceTime with him because all I wanted to do was just get around him and be with him because he was so genuinely excited. And then we're on the field, and I just hear, no, that ain't the standard. That ain't the standard. I turn back, and it's Jared Verse. And you could feel his energy, his passion. All you got to do is turn on any Rams game and see how good the guy is. Yeah. I mean, that's easy to see. But to feel his energy and to already witness his leadership is going to be awesome for our defense, along with the other great people and players we have, not only in that room, but on our defense and our football.
I'll tell you this, JP. Hearing him lay out the leadership aspect of who he is as a guy already is very encouraging, because he's talking about a guy that just came into this building talking about a standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a standard of greatness in his mind, and bringing that over to Cleveland. One, that's obviously great leadership. And to me, the second part of that is the investment from a guy like Jared Verse, who's going from a environment that is, hey, we can probably win the Super Bowl in L.A., to the Browns right now that are rebuilding this thing and trying to get into the mix.
Well, when you've been in a building where the expectation is to win a championship, it's hard to go other places, and that just leaves you.
Right.
Right. Like, you don't want to walk into, and this is not shade to any of the players or new coaching staff, but you don't want to walk into a place that has historically not won and say, oh, I'm just going to do what they do. I think you bring your experiences of being in an organization that's right there every year and say, this is what I know, and this is what's going to be the standard. I also think as a young player, he is smart enough to know what he was up against. So what I mean by that is, you and I just talked about how his production, his performance may not ever be Myles Garrett, but you can bridge that gap by being a dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come in and start off with that, and as your game develops, you just keep going with it. But it doesn't take very much to just say, I'm going to be a dude.
Right.
And I'm going to come in here, I'm going to set the tone, and I'm going to make an impact that way.
100%. I do think he has double-digit sack ability in his bag. I do think he can be a consistent double-digit sack guy a year. That's never the end-all, be-all, because to me, I'm a pressures guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to lean into, how much static are you creating consistently around the quarterback as a pass rusher? You look at where he's at through his first two seasons in the NFL. He's got 188 total pressures, man. That's putting in work. So you can look at the sack numbers for him that are fine for a guy that's in his first couple years of his career, but this guy has an ability to be around the quarterback and create avenues to get to the quarterback. And to your point, he may not even have his full bag, just its full tool set just to go to as a pass rusher, and he's already found ways to be a guy and be an impact player down in the trenches.
I think that's the fun and exciting thing, right, is when you start to look out a year from now, 2 years from now, what steps has he taken as a player? How has his game evolved? How is he keeping offensive linemen on their toes? How is he commanding attention now differently than maybe when he walks in the door? And as you said, I think pressures are as important as anything. If you can force an errant throw or a throwaway, you don't necessarily hit the quarterback. I think that's valuable.
Yes, 100%. And the guy I've been thinking about a lot when it comes to this Browns defense without Myles Garrett is, what are we going to get this season from Mason Graham? Mason Graham is the guy that can create that interior pressure, can be the guy that can hold up against the run, garner attention from maybe a couple offensive linemen from the opposing team. That's what I think really needs to pop this year and in the years to come, is that not even the comp between he and Travis Hunter. That is what it is at this point. But because of that trade and now removing one of the best defensive players in the entire sport, that has to come along this season and beyond, is Mason Graham turning into a force for them on Sunday.
So I've talked about this. Tyvis Powell talks about this. There are other people in the football world that are getting to this take. But I think the interior guys, in terms of their ability to create pressure, are becoming more important than guys on the edge. And it's because you're a direct line to the quarterback. It's you. It's the center. Mm-hmm. It's the quarterback. And so what we saw from him in college was a guy who, first off, stout against the run. I watched snaps of him where he would have two guys trying to block him, and he would just stand them both up and control them. Didn't move an inch, right? Like, that to me was the power, the strength that he has, his ability and awareness in the run game. But we also saw this quick twitch, you know, when it was time to get the pass rush on, his violence in his hands, his hips were loose. His feet were quick. That's got to show up.
If that player shows up on Sundays, that's going to have a domino effect and lead into a good player in Carson Schlesinger too, right? Those defensive linemen up front can clear up things for those LBs, as you know, JP, better than we do. That, from what I heard, just can work wonders, right, for the second level of the defense. And we already saw last year how good Carson Schlesinger is. So if that Mason Graham that you described shows up to the party, Carson Schlesinger is going to be eating even more.
Dog, I'll tell you right now, I used to be Joey Bosa and Adolphus Washington. I'd stand behind those two guys. That's how you get 124 tackles in a season, baby. Like it makes your job completely different. They're worried about how they're going to block those guys, especially the interior guys. Got to get two on them. Yeah. Now you're thinking about we're going to one-on-one block, and we're going to try to block him with the tight end. You're never going to do that.
Right.
Linebackers just running through gaps at that point.
Here's what I wanted to ask you, because I was thinking about without Miles in the equation now, how they can create pressures, right? Because with a guy like Myles Garrett, I'm assuming as a defensive coordinator, you just line it up, he's going to win.
Right.
Right. Double team, triple team, he's going to win. Right. Where does Mike Rutenberg need to go now, JP, as far as drawing up exotic looks to create pressure up front?
So it's an interesting question you ask, and I haven't really like grinded Brown's tape to know this, it feels like when you have a guy like Miles, your front's going to be a little bit more static, because to your point, you want to let him eat. You want to give him the option to have an outside rush, an inside rush, whatever he needs, right? So it's not going to be too much chaos going on around him. I think as constructed, you might see a little bit more movement, guys on the move, a little bit more gap exchange between guys up front twisting, a little bit more gap exchange between where the D-line lines up and where the linebackers are pre-snap and post-snap. That, to me, is where you can take it another notch. It's like Indiana on defense. They're, you know, college football champions.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a bunch of ass kickers up front. But they had a front that was chaotic enough that it was really hard to block guys. You don't need to do that in the NFL. Your players should be good enough. But if you put them on the move a little bit more, I think it helps.
The other thing that Jared Verse is going to have to show is that LA Rams defensive line had a bunch of guys up and down the defensive line you had to worry about. He no doubt was one of the main focuses. But now he is the focus, I'm sure, for a lot of these offensive coordinators to say, where is Jared Verse on every single play and handling that attention and extra bodies from blockers and tight ends and offensive linemen? That's the other challenge that he's up against now.
I'll tell you right now, though, if you got three guys up front, right? So you've got Verse, you've got Graham, and then you've got Schlesinger off the ball. If you have three guys that they need to identify pre-snap, you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, you're just giving them more things to worry about.
Yeah, you
got to
think about where dudes are going to end up.
It's like the opposite of the offense, right? We were talking about you got guys that you can move around, tight ends, wide receivers, running backs. Same thing can be said on defense, to your point there. Coming up in 2 minutes, Adam Schefter, he will stop by the party to join us to talk about everything happening around the National Football League. We're Rothman and Ice.
Plumbing and Plumbing.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
NFL Playbook with ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
All right, welcome back in. Efforting our guy, Adam Schefter. No, the NFL, just always something going on, JP. His lifestyle, I would not want. Like, looking at Shams and Shefty, like,
dude, I worked with Shams. I watched him up close for 2 years getting it done. It's a different world for these guys.
It's crazy, man. We were out in Vegas for the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and Shams was at the hotel we were at, and he was just in the lobby just for like 10 minutes, just walking around with two different phones in his hand. It looked so hectic.
He doesn't even drive because he's on his phone so much.
He can't.
You see, Shefty getting in on some NBA scoops, too.
Shefty loves the NBA.
Oh, it's Shefty amazing.
Shefty loves the NBA.
I love it.
He covered a couple games in the league for ESPN. He's all in on that. So, some of the scheduling stuff is coming out. So, August 30th will be final cutdown day around the league. November 2nd will be NFL trade deadline day. And then we'll have the Super Bowl out in SoFi. We've got Shefty now. Shefty, welcome in, my man. How you feeling?
Maddie, Joshua, how you guys doing today?
Doing well. Appreciate your time as always. Were you inside Madison Square Garden for the Swift Kelce wedding? Were you there?
I was not there. I was not important enough to get an invite to that to that function. Everybody else was invited, but I wasn't. It was kind of a humbling experience. You know, you think, okay, well, maybe you might be somebody, and then you're like, no, I'm not anybody big.
So if you would have received an invite, you would have gone.
Oh yeah.
Can't miss that. I totally understand. Chef, so we reacted yesterday to that Sean Payton, Bill Belichick story that came out. Seth Wickersham wrote that. And apparently back in 2024, Chef, it sounds like Sean Payton was trying to carve out a little room for Bill Belichick. Talk about that, what you remember about that time and what you were hearing about that.
Well, I didn't hear about it until yesterday, to be honest with you, when Seth wrote about it. And it's not surprising. I mean, there's a lot of things that under consideration that people don't know about. You know, something, just an idea. It wasn't like it gained a lot of traction or went anywhere and like they had conversations with Bill about it. It was just an idea that Sean had, and it never went anywhere. It really wasn't going to go anywhere, but it tells you a little bit about the way that Sean Payton thinks and the respect he has for Bill Belichick. And, you know, Sean's always thinking, you know, outside the box and, you know, history and the NFL and his team and this and that. And so not surprising that he would think of something like that. It would have been more surprising if it had been pulled off and Bill Belichick had become the head coach with Sean as the assistant head coach. Would have been quite a combination. It would have been a cool thing to do, but it obviously it's a fun little interesting item, but it never came close to happening.
So let me run this by you, Shefty. We were arguing about Bill Belichick and what the interest level would be in him as a coach in the NFL this next cycle. And Matty Ice was like, he would be the number one guy. I think the way things ended in New England, kind of the way things are going at UNC, people might be off the train a little bit. So vacancies will open at the end of the year. Where would he be in line for some of those openings?
Well, he's been through two head coaching cycles. And 2 years ago, I believe he was in play in Washington. I think last year there were 10 teams, 10 organizations that changed head coaches. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think any one of them considered him. So, you know, it just depends what you're looking for. To me, you know, he's as good a coach as there ever was. I'd want him coaching my team, but that's not the way the teams have operated and thought over the last 2 years. Nobody's really given him a chance. And I don't know why they would all of a sudden give him a chance. So I would not expect that he would be at the top of the head coaching candidate list in the next cycle. I think it would be great if he were. I think it's ill-advised that he's not. But again, it's not me running a team, and these teams have bypassed him over the last 2 years. I don't know what's going to be different next year.
Shefty, Adam Schefter joining us here on Rothman and Ice. The whole Brandon Ayuk situation, I'm having a hard time understanding his game plan here, because now we got a little back and forth, it seems like, between he and Jaden Daniels. And now this just is strange, Shefty, because it just seems like he wants to be in Washington, but now there's a feel to it that maybe there's a little bit of a burnt bridge here. So what's your understanding of what's going on with Brandon Ayuk, why he's doing this, and where is this headed in the next few weeks?
Well, first of all, sometimes it's better to just keep your mouth closed, which he hasn't done. And he obviously has gone out and criticized and embarrassed his current employer, the 49ers. He's on the reserve retire list. He's still their property. And so he'd have to show up to force them to cut him. He said he's not going to be doing that. You know, I think there are people out there who said to me, they wonder whether or not he wants to play football. Now, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, who knows? That's a Brandon Ayuk call, but he's certainly behaved in a way where he's alienated his former Arizona State teammate, Jaden Daniels, who it certainly sounded like he thought he would be playing with at one point in time, and then came out and was critical of him out of nowhere. Again, in a case like this, less is more. And nobody's told Brandon Ayuk that he should be sitting in the background, not saying anything. And every time he said something, it's become a headline. It's become a distraction. It's brought unwarranted and unnecessary attention on him. And I think it's raised a lot of questions across the league.
Where do the sides stand between Baker Mayfield and the Bucs right now? And how do you see this thing ending?
Yeah, I think that they'd like to try to address it. It hasn't been easy so far. They tried. It wasn't what Baker was thinking. Couldn't be that hard to do a deal, but it has been. You know, look, it's July 8th or 9th or whatever today is, and, talk to me on September 8th or 9th, and let's see where they are then. I don't get too worked up about a contract negotiation now. Like I said, if it's still that way in 2 months when they're starting the season and Baker says, I'm done talking, you know, until after the year. Well, that's interesting. That's notable. And we could break down the ramifications then. But there's still 2 months. And it's a lot of posturing until then.
Shefty, between Baker and CJ Stroud, who would you say is closer to getting a deal done with their team right now?
Well, it doesn't matter who's closer today because it could be one phone call tomorrow that could change everything. But I would think that by the time the regular season begins, just my guess would be that there'll be new deals in place for both.
Looking at the Vikings quarterback situation, it feels like Kyler Murray is probably going to end up being the guy. You've got J.J. McCarthy, who's a first-round pick for him. Do you see them as a team who is looking to trade J.J. McCarthy potentially, or do you think KOC values having him around?
You know, that's come up. I just don't see that right now. I don't. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't. You know, there's a new GM there. They have said it's going to be an open competition. They invested a high pick in J.J. McCarthy. Why are you moving off a guy like that right now when he's capable of winning a starting job and his value is not near what you could get if he happens to win that job or play well at all this year? So if you move off him, you'd be selling, you know, at 25 cents on the dollar, maybe. And I don't think that makes a lot of sense. I think they'll wait around. I think that they'll allow those guys to compete for the starting job, and then we can reassess where things are at that point in time.
So a couple of years ago, the Detroit Lions spent a first-round pick on Terrion Arnold, and now here he is dealing with a legal situation that's very odd and just crazy on the surface that he would be involved in that. But, Shefty, is he going to have a bunch of suitors as far as teams lining up to acquire him, to bring him into their building and put them inside of their defense?
Well, his attorney, Harvey Steinberg, told the court last week that there were three teams that already had reached out about Terrion Arnold and that he expected Terrion Arnold to have a home within 30 days. Those were the words of his attorney to the court. So I don't think he's going to, you know, bluff to the court. And my understanding is there has been interest in him, and we'll see how that plays out here. But, you know, if you happen to sign the guy, obviously he's facing a significant, serious, troubling, disturbing legal situation. But I think a team, you know, would sign into a deal where there was no guaranteed money and his trial may not happen for another year or two. So, you know, it's up to teams to figure out whether or not he's worth that risk, whether they want to put themselves in that situation. That's something that every team has to make a decision on.
Let me take you a little bit of a different direction to a conversation we were having at the top of the show. I've got a 10-month-old who's really starting to get the morning breath right now. Her breath stinks. And so we were talking about the conventions of how you deal with somebody who's got funky breath. When you're having a conversation with somebody and their breath is kicking a little bit, how do you handle that?
I'm a non-confrontational person. That's their issue, not mine. I wouldn't say anything. I'm not, you know, my 10-year-old, I would brush their teeth. You know, that's the way it goes.
What if you were sharing a small studio with Dan Orlovsky and you guys were in a small studio for a couple hours, Shefty? Would you say anything to Dan Orlovsky? No.
I'd suck it up. Okay. I'd suck it up.
Wouldn't offer a mint?
Yep.
No Altoids?
No, that's a good idea, though. Hey, Dan, you want any gum? Why? That's probably the best way of doing it. You know, what you try and tell me? No, I just want to see if you want some, and it's double mint, you know, just try it, whatever it is. Like, I might do that. That's a good idea.
That's a good approach. A good approach. Hey, Shefty, I want to ask you this, just because I know you're into fantasy football. If Adam Schefter has the number one overall pick this year in fantasy football, let's say half PPR league. Is it Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, or someone else?
Well, I think it's Gibbs or Robinson, and I can make a compelling case for each player. I honestly don't have any issue with either one. If I had the one pick, the number one pick, I mean, to me, it's a coin flip, Bijan or Jahmyr, but if it's me, I might just do Bijan because they hired Bill Callahan as their offensive line coach. But honestly, like I'm happy to get. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a top two pick in fantasy in a long time. I really want, I'm in two leagues, I really want to get one of those two guys.
Yeah, it feels like they're just in line for monster years. But one last one on Bijan. They any closer to getting a new deal done? I know they've got things done with London and Pitts. Where are they at with Bijan?
Yeah, no, they're talking. Okay. I would expect, again, you know, to me, I don't know whether they get that done the week of training camp or shortly into training camp, but I'd be surprised if Bijan didn't have a new deal also by the start of the season.
Sounds good. Shefty is okay. Sounds good, my man. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the rest of your week into the weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you. There he goes. Adam Schefter, the ESPN Senior NFL Insider. Coming up next, JP, things got a little spicy at Big 12 Media Days yesterday. The commissioner and a media member with a little back and forth that was very entertaining. You will hear that next with Rothman and Ice. Benefits.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
You have to understand you're listening to Rothman and Ice 97.1 The Fan. It's indubitable.
Appreciate you, Stephen A. Welcome back in. Joshua Perry back in the house today for AR. Hope you guys are having a great hump day. So Big 12 Media Day popping off yesterday. And Brett, your mark. Commissioner of the conference. This is a guy that, you know, did some work with Jay-Z, I believe, in his back in the day, working with Jay-Z over at Roc Nation.
Sure.
And so he's had his hand in a couple different pots around the entertainment and sports world. But there was an interaction between a Texas Tech reporter and Brett Yormark that went viral yesterday. And here is that back and forth between the two.
Sean Dillon, Rocket Brigade. Commission. Texas Tech got fined over tortillas, and tortillas were banned outright. OSU paddles, broken always make a rule, has a tradition exemption. Sorsby never played a snap for the Red Raiders. Big 12 sued them anyway, while Cincinnati hasn't been yet touched. You're selling greater than 12. Why should Texas Tech fans believe it?
Can you sit? Let me come closer to you. Stand up. Ask that question again, and I'm going to give you the answer I want to give you, so go ahead.
Texas Tech got fined for tortillas, and tortillas were banned outright. OSU has had paddles that were given a noisemaker exemption back in 2012. Sorsby never played a snap for the Red Raiders, and yet there is a lawsuit. Cincinnati has yet to be touched. You're selling greater than 12. Why should Texas Tech fans believe them?
No, I didn't say greater than 12. You misquoted me. I said we're going forward is 16 strong, and that's my answer to your question. But thank you for that question. Appreciate it.
Put him in his place.
It's a dumbass question and a dumbass answer.
Put him in his place. So, Brett Yormark, he's from Jersey.
Yeah, he's got that.
He's got some edge to him.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that I've met from Jersey that are New Yorkers.
This is how my mom sounds, by the way. She's from Jersey.
They're about that.
Yeah.
They're about that. So when he's walking across the stage and says, stand up.
You.
That's putting him on notice in front of everybody. Like,
but then.
You're coming at me?
He put him at notice and didn't answer any part of the question, though.
He did.
Like, that's the thing that bothered me the most was, I think this would have been a great opportunity to address all of it. The tortillas, you're throwing them on the field. It's delaying the game. It's a hazard if somebody were to slip on a tortilla, God forbid, on some turf and blow out their Achilles, right? So, like, that's an issue. They got the noisemaker thing, but once the quarterback addresses the ball, center addresses the ball, you got to be done with the noisemaker. So you do that. That's easy. How come you haven't done anything about Cincinnati? Well, the NCAA today, I think Ross Dellinger reported, they sent an inquiry to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. But the Big 12 didn't investigate anything when it came to the Sorsby deal. Information came across their desk. They didn't like the information. They acted. If they find out something about Cincinnati that they were playing in an ineligible player and knew about it,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're going to do something. Say those things. Right. But to the Texas Tech guy, you tech people are living in your own Looney Tune universe right now. Nobody else thinks that you're in the right. Nobody else thinks that you were unfairly picked on. Everybody sees it for what it is, and they're all in this, why should we want to be here? Why should we be invested? Where the hell are you going? Big Ten, SEC knocking at your door?
Mm-mm.
The ACC doesn't even want you. So what, you going to the New Mountain West?
Have
fun. Be in there with Northern Illinois.
Have fun.
Yeah, it'd be a great season for you guys.
You know what I'm just thinking about, too? The Big 12 this year, to me, is going to be such a non-factor as far as, at least for me, this is how I'm feeling, is that they're going to be just out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
I don't feel like I'm going to care about anything happening in that conference, especially now that we have the Sorsby thing somewhat put to bed. Maybe they'll still be a good enough team to be in contention and all of that stuff. We shall see. But that conference right now, JP, when you started talking about where are you going to go, that's the last conference I would want, one of the last conferences I would want to be in right now. And Brett, your mark, not only was it that, the announcement of the monster deal
that
was with the conference as well yesterday that came down was a bad look.
It was crazy because it's like, okay, so $20 million, 16 institutions. First off, nobody's going to call it Monster Energy Big 12 football.
They're not going to do that.
I don't know who they expect to do that. We're not doing it. Secondly, I don't know if anybody's thought about this. Is BYU really putting that patch on their jersey? Their kids can't drink coffee.
Probably
they don't do
not.
Caffeine.
Probably not. So for the folks that don't know what we're talking about, yesterday the Big 12 announced that they partner with Monster Energy to be an entitlement partner of Big 12 football and men's and women's basketball. The deal is reported to be roughly $20 million annually, and it'll pay the 16 Big 12 members around $1 million each per year. I've accepted that the patches are coming, the college football, it is what it is. It's just endorsements and just branding is everywhere. Now, like I watching wrestling, JP, it's on the mats. It's on the ring post. It's just that's where we are right now, I think, in sports and entertainment.
Yes.
I don't have an issue with that. It's going to be in your face. I don't have an issue with it. But the Big 12 with this deal, I'm not seeing the upside there. I'm really not.
I mean, they need money any way they can get it. Like they are behind. And this is what you come to is like, how can we pimp our conference? Basically, like that's the whole thought process there. And I'll give Brett Yormark credit because he is one of the more aggressive commissioners when it comes to innovation and when it comes to activation and how they want to try to grow in that regard. They tried the stupid thing with the glass floor for the basketball tournaments, the conference tournaments. That didn't work, but they tried something different. They're doing this thing at the conference media days at the Star in Frisco, right? Like they're trying to get some juice around what's going on. So I don't fault him for looking for these different ways to activate. But $20 million, bro, come on.
Yeah, I know. He does have a good business background. He's had success in that realm, right? He worked with the Brooklyn Nets, but then he worked for Roc Nation, as I mentioned earlier. He was the CEO and president of business operations and strategy. So that kind of leads into what you're talking about is he has that creative mind. The wheels are always turning to try to create the best product possible.
But, I mean, you sell... I don't even know exactly what it is. It's a patch thing and they're supposed to say the name, but you sell that for $20 million. Like everybody else is going to be like, all right, well, you know, they might have to do a million deals, but like everybody's going to be like, we're going to do cheap deals with you because you gave us a cheap price.
No question about it. So yeah, that I always like I like a good spicy press conference every now and then. I like a little back and forth.
I didn't like either one of these guys' responses.
Fair.
Didn't like the question, didn't like the response.
But I like sometimes when coaches and commissioners, they got to deal with a little bit
puff
of...
Puff your chest, though, you really got to bury him. And he said thank you at the end of his response back to the guy, too. There would have been no thanks from me.
I like, though, how he walked off on the guy, though.
Okay.
It's kind of a little bit of like, just turned his back a little bit. Thank you. It just walked away.
They need to watch Housewives to figure this thing out.
The pettiness. If you want to be petty... Study the Housewives. They'll get you right. Or Love Island like TLC. That's where he gets all his pettiness from.
Oh, yeah, I'm the only one.
Coming up top of the hour after an update. JP, there's some folks saying that we may have witnessed the best comeback in sports history yesterday at the World Cup between Argentina and Egypt. Do we agree? We will talk about that next. It's Rothman and Ice.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The fairy tale continues on day 10 at Wimbledon. British wildcard Arthur Ferry is onto the semis, stunning number 9 Flavio Cavoli in straight sets in the gentlemen's quarterfinal. He'll face number 2 Alexander Zverev, who topped number 6 Taylor Fritz, also in straight sets. Women's quarterfinal in straight sets as well. Number 9 Lina Noskova beat number 25 Elise Mertens, while number 12 Marta Kostyuk top number 13, Jasmine Paolini. Baseball tonight, Reds visit the Phillies at 7:10. Cincinnati's Chase Burns makes his first start since being named an All-Star. Guardians look to snap a 3-game slide when they visit the Twins at 7:40. Slade Ciccone on the hill for Cleveland. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. BMIFCU.org/Visa. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony once got Jack Nicklaus to quote the movie Caddyshack.
So he's got that going for him.
The last time I saw a mouth like that, I had a hook.
Which is nice. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Let's go while we're young.
Hour number 2. Welcome back in. Joshua Perry in the building. Bottom of the hour, Jonah Booker from 24/7 Sports and Bucknuts. He will join us to talk all things Buckeye football. If you don't recognize the name, Buckeye fans, there's a decent chance you follow the man on Twitter. He is Jay Book on Twitter. So he's a great Ohio State follow on Twitter. Does some good work with our guy Dave Biddle as well over at Bucknuts.com. He will stop by at 1:30 to talk some old Buckeye football. JP, I know during the break we were looking at some stuff about the Big 12 and, you know, just energy drinks and who is going to be in on this monster deal. BYU, are they going to be a part of it? We were questioning that. You did some research during the break. What'd you find?
So CB ran down here to tell me that energy drinks are good in the Mormon community. He said he was watching Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, which my wife watches. I don't.
That and show is just take it off.
It's crazy.
Take it off.
But they run around with the Alanis, which are energy drinks. Yeah. So you start to look it up.
Okay.
Coffee's a no-no. Tea is a no-no. But caffeine isn't explicitly prohibited.
Okay.
But BYU does not sell energy drinks on campus.
They're going to have those patches, though.
So I am
curious, does
that open up the opportunity now for some of the dining services to go ahead and stock some Monster energy drinks on campus?
A fair question. My gut is telling me that I don't believe the Big 12 would have done that deal with Monster if BYU wasn't on board.
I think they would have been like, oh, we got 15 of the 16, so we're just going to drag you along. That's how I think the Big 12 is moving right now.
Well, we ain't worried about BYU. We're getting this money. So, yes, I'm not an energy drink guy, JP.
I love them.
I'm not an energy drink guy. I'm not a coffee guy. I'm just not a caffeine guy, but you love energy drinks.
Give me a full-fat Red Bull,
okay,
20-ounce can. Yeah, I'm
crushing
good.
It.
Yeah.
Did you drink those prior to games ever? Did it get you going? Did you need anything to get you going for games?
No, I didn't do it then, but as I've aged,
come on, man.
Yeah, I need them.
Aged, you're not an unk yet.
Oh, I am. I mow the
lawn.
Unk
habits
in the Monarchs. That's an unctivity.
I got a couple pair of them.
I can't wait for an occasion to throw something down on the grill. That's an unctivity.
So funny that you mentioned the Monarch, because I remember when Pete Carroll was doing his thing at Seattle when he had on those Nike dad shoes, and everybody was just kind of like, those are just for all the old heads. And now you look at all the youngins, and those are. Those are the shoes that they're wearing.
What a shame. Yeah. They are trying to make everything that was uncool cool.
What's old is new again. That's just usually what happens, man. Just things circle back around. And so yesterday, if you were paying attention at all to the sports world, you probably saw the headline of what happened to what happened to Egypt by the hands of Argentina and Messi with that incredible comeback. What followed after that game was a tweet from one Tom Brady. And Tom Brady tweets out the following. Yeah, so that might top 28-3. And so Tom was smack dab in the middle of that comeback against the Atlanta Falcons in the same venue and all of that. I think Tom got caught up in the moment. I think Tom was caught up in the moment. I don't think, me personally, I don't believe Argentina-Egypt is going to be remembered in the same way Patriots-Falcons was.
I mean, one was a Super Bowl where, like, you win the thing right there. The other one was along this journey of trying to win the thing. So I think just the impact alone is reason enough to say that it doesn't top 28-3.
No, not at all. And like, it's crazy when we talk about this a lot with the Bengals. I got a couple of friends of mine that are really good Bengal friends, and they're always like, hey man, we got what it takes. And I'm always just trying to remind, you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. You can have the guy under center. You can have this. You can have that. But there's so many things that have to break your way, right? You need a little bit of luck on your side, along with obviously being an absolute squad.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Atlanta, you look at them, and they've never really recovered.
Not at all.
From that, right? Like, just been searching, scratching, and clawing to find the quarterbacks over the last couple years. You had those last
found
few
a couple
years,
hurt guys. A
couple hurt guys, both left-handed, too,
which is crazy.
Which is crazy, by the way. But that just goes to show you, like, when you're there as a team, you got to get it done,
you
man.
You got to capitalize.
You got to get it done, because the dream of a Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes start to your career or entirety of a career like Tom Brady, those are few and far between. And so I don't think that compares to what we saw between the Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons.
I agree.
I don't even think it's on the same level as what the Cavs did back in 2016.
I think it'll be interesting, that one, to me. And football, I think, is a very, you know, American bias thing. But the Super Bowl is something that is enjoyed worldwide. But that Cavs comeback in the worldwide community versus this Argentina-Egypt deal, I'm curious to see what the conversation would be around that.
Okay.
Because I think for us, it's easy to say, like, oh, absolutely. We're in the state of Ohio.
Right.
Like, we're that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask just, like, random sports fan, international sports fan, which one resonates stronger with them? I don't know if they're leaning our way.
I think it's still Cavs Warriors. I think with the global star power that Steph and LeBron and had at the moment.
No doubt.
That took over just everything, right?
No doubt.
Draymond goes down with a suspension, and then it's on. And so I think that still is going to be above what happened with Argentina in Egypt yesterday.
That's fair.
Because it would have had to been, in my opinion, JP, the final match of the World Cup.
That's what's knocking it down for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing for me is, like, it's hard to compare the impact and the gravity of somebody actually winning a title in their sport versus the one game on the way. Right. And then they might be out in the next round. Who knows?
Were you ever a part of any horrific comebacks where you were on defense and you were just going back to the sideline and you were thinking, I can't believe this is happening, that we're letting this slip through our fingers? Any of that across your mind right now?
We lost four games in college, and I don't think any of them we were like, you know, we just lost it at the end. When I was playing for the Chargers, we were just bad. So I'm sure there was one or two in there. And the same thing when I was playing for the Colts. We weren't a good team, so I'm sure there was one or two in there. I felt like when I was playing for the Colts, it was just a whole bunch of games where we felt like we were right there and just
couldn't finish it. And that, look, speaking of franchises that have been searching high and low for consistency, post Andrew Luck.
Wow.
I mean, it's one thing, right? Like, if a guy gets knocked out, career-ending injury, just racking up a whole bunch of concussions or whatever it may be. But for Andrew Luck, he felt like his body was done at the time, which I respected. Well, but you were getting, as a Colts fan, the beginning taste of, oh, we could have an all-timer.
You were getting the reincarnation of Peyton Manning.
Which rarely happens, right? Like, there are certain franchises that have been spoiled.
Right.
Right, with certain positions, especially the quarterback position. They were on the cusp of handing the keys to, again, a guy that looked like he was probably going to camp. I think Andrew Luck, with his skill set, the way it looked, that was Hall of Fame talent to me.
Yes.
And we talked earlier about LeBron and this being the anniversary of the decision. I'll never forget where I was when Andrew Luck, when that tweet came out from Schefter.
Wild.
I thought he was hacked. In the same way I thought Shams was hacked when he reported the Luka trade to the Lakers.
Right.
Andrew Luck. He's retiring?
Like, he's like walking off the field after a preseason game or whatever, and like all this stuff is breaking on social media.
Yeah, and he was one of the last, I think, few true prospects that lived up to the hype coming out of college. Like, Andrew Luck was coming out of Stanford, everybody was stamping him as, he's the next one.
Yeah.
He's the next one. And then you could feel that right away. So, like, we had that last year with Arch Manning, and you saw how that went.
Right.
But I think from Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun, Andrew Luck, kind of that run, those were all hits.
Right.
We really haven't had the guy that's been, Like last year was Cam Ward.
Sure.
Are we 100% sure he is going to be? Like, we're not there with those guys. Andrew Luck made it known to me early on that I'm for real and I'm going to be a dude.
The one who it feels like the tide is starting to turn in the right way in terms of that conversation is Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like the guy who we knew early on. It was, what was it, him and Spencer Rattler, and they had that whole deal. And then he goes from Oklahoma to USC, Heisman Trophy. And I feel like he was the one that was anointed that might actually be able to deliver in this new age.
The only question I had about Caleb coming out was, can he get away with the backyard
style?
Can
he play in system and be...
Can you
productive.
Do that against grown men?
I'm with you.
And then last year,
he's starting to do it.
You saw he tightened the screws on that just
Ben
a little
Johnson
bit.
Said, sit your ass down.
That's his his skill set with the man that you mentioned and the weapons that are around him. He's got a chance to live up to that because Caleb Williams started to figure it out. And that just speaks to some of these guys just need a little bit of structure, right? No matter how great you are, how elite you are with certain skill sets, you need that coaching. You need the guys around you. And I think Caleb Williams has a chance to absolutely capitalize on some of the momentum he created last year. Coming up next, TLC is going to take over and ins and outs with Rothman and Ice.
It's a
Cheetah Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we're at the PGA Tour Superstore. Plus, we'll head to Scotland and check in on this week's tour stop with Golf Channel's Ron Cyrak.
Cheetah Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll keep that mix of sun and clouds going for the rest of the day. It's a warm one out there with highs in the upper 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, lower 70s. Then for your Thursday, partly sunny skies once again. There may be a few showers and storms out there later on. Otherwise warm, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Rothman and Ice present In or Out.
Just a little of the old In and Out.
All right, TLC. Welcome back. It's time for you to take over. What do you got cooked up in Ins and Outs today, my man?
All righty. Are you in or out on fans being allowed to vote for All-Star Game rosters?
In or out? See, here's the question.
Go ahead.
If I say no, who do I want voting on it? Because players would have their own biases as well. And so I don't know if I want to leave it up to the players themselves alone.
It's an interesting question. I think, I think I'm fine with it. Because I would make the argument that fans will have seen more of the sport in totality than media or players. I think a lot of media members who vote on these things aren't national people. So they're at their team's game that they're covering.
You know, I'm laughing because when you said that, it reminds me of the coaches poll in college football. When I'm like,
the SIDs
are
filling them out and like, hey, can you sign this before I turn it in?
Are these coaches really grinding tape on all these top 30 teams? And
they're
all
not.
There's no way.
But the thing about the media vote in a lot of this is like, AP voters for college football, for example. Did you watch any of the other games or were you stuck at the stadium all day trying to get your story before the deadline hit?
It's that.
So I think fans are certainly biased, but there's this idea that they probably watch more in general than players or media would.
I like that fans have a say with something like this. This isn't the end of the world. There really isn't much on the line. This is just for vibes, man. It's just for vibes. Everybody's there.
Doesn't the NBA with theirs, don't they have incentives in the contracts or like some of max contracts? And
by the way, some of the stuff is crazy.
I don't like that the fans can be in control of that part.
In the NBA too?
Yeah.
You have media members where some of their votes can trigger max contracts and super max contracts. And
I don't like that.
So the NBA is wild, and baseball, I don't have an issue with it. The All-Star game's a one-off. Let the folks have
I think baseball fans care more than other sports, too.
Ooh, that's an interesting
because
topic.
That All-Star game matters more than other sports.
It's the one All-Star game to where you watch it, and you're like, oh, this is very similar to what I watched on any other day.
Correct.
Like, yeah. Because you can't fake, as a pitcher, you can't fake it in that sport.
There's no
If I watch Joshua Perry go out there every fifth day and throw 100 miles an hour, and then in the All-Star game,
ham sandwiches up there.
Come on.
Yeah. Bad deal.
Can't do it.
Are you in or out on swinging 3-0?
It depends on who it is in the lineup. If Joshua Perry is my four-hole hitter, is cooking and hitting dingers, he's got the green light. If it's somebody that's struggling, no, you're taking all day. You got to take all day. So It matters. It depends on who it is, TLC, in the lineup.
Not a baseball guy. Got no answer.
What if it's Kyle Schwarber?
It doesn't matter if it's 3-0 or 0-0. Schwarber is swinging if it's something he likes. And it is a three-ball, no-strike count. Pitch from Abbott. Boom. It is 3-0. A home run into the bleachers in right field. And I mean, it was a rocket. No sooner did I get that out of my mouth, he was swinging 3-0.
So that's Jeff Brantley. As a Reds fan, I love the Cowboy. Like, he just got that level of energy, the level of don't give a blank. He's got the great combination of everything when you listen to him talk about the game. I wish we got him more on TV. But yeah, 3-0 green light. You got to be a special player. Kyle Schwarber, obviously one of those. I think he's at what now, TLC? 31 dingers. And your dinger team is pissing me off because every day I go to bed and I watch just his guys absolutely going nuts. But yeah, Kyle Schwarber definitely worthy of that.
All right, are you in or out on Deion Sanders left a pause because he was expecting laughter after this joke? Now, he did make it up later because there's a laugh at the end, but there's a gap in the middle of this, and I think that he thought he dropped the mic and no one responded.
David Ubben with The Athletic. A few of the coaches in college football are not in the video game. You're one of them. I was curious why that was and what went into that decision.
I don't know about the video games. I have a wonderful team that handles a lot of business for me. If I'm not in the game, that means they weren't paying enough. It probably didn't fit where we're going right now. That's probably it. It was probably this, that simplistic. Thank you, Athletic. You guys do a wonderful job. You know I'm lying, right? Next.
So he came back at the end and kind of got his dig. Right?
Yeah, that's tough.
Let me tell you why I'm out on this.
Ooh, yeah, it's tough.
What? I saw a clip that popped up on my X account yesterday.
It's Twitter. Don't do that.
On my Twitter account yesterday.
Thank you.
And Colorado players were basically talking about how they really didn't watch film and they weren't like preparing in the manner that a typical program would prepare. Yeah. And it's because he's worried about doing the deals. And I think there is a purpose for that. I think it's been great what he's been able to do to generate excitement and funds around the university. Yeah. But at a certain point, we got to coach games. Yeah. And so any of this external stuff, I'm out on.
I'm with you on that because this is now, what, year 4 or year 3 out there in Boulder?
That's a great question.
I think it's been just a few years. But, yeah, those things getting out from your players, especially guys that you take to media day that you're deeming as leaders. Those guys should know better.
Are they deeming them as leaders or dogs? Do they have the L or the D on their jersey?
Fair, because they got both.
Right.
They got both. But you would think as a coach, right, like, I got these 3 to 4 guys coming with me to wherever we're going. They're not going to say anything.
But that's it. The issue, though, is he says everything. So I'm not exactly sure that he cares how discerning those guys are, because if they said something wrong, he'll just go in the media and he will clear up whatever needs to be cleared up. Yeah. I think he does everything the opposite of what most coaches would do conventionally.
That's fair.
All right, we were talking in the last segment about the greatest comebacks in the history of sports. Do the best or worst anything in the history of sports have to be in the playoffs, given the stakes?
Ooh. See, I'm torn on this because prior to watching Oklahoma City and the San Antonio Spurs play in the playoffs, I was in the camp of this is a rivalry already. There were former players that I was hearing on certain podcasts, on TV, wherever it may be, that were saying they got to play in the playoffs, they got to play in the postseason. I was like, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like with where these teams are in age, the stars on both sides, this is a rivalry brewing already. So I don't think I need that.
I'm a little bit torn on this. I think the greatest whatever needs to have the context of a championship around it somewhere. And what I mean by that is if a moment happens earlier in a season that ends up being a special season, then I think you can put that in the greatest.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's just really good.
Okay.
Well, mentally prepare yourselves for the greatest rivalries in college football to be the teams that play each other in the CFP every year.
Oh, well.
I didn't think of that angle until just now, but it fits, and I'm sticking with it.
Yuck.
What else do I have here? It was National Hawaii Day on Sunday. Are you in or out on you ever making it to Hawaii in your lifetime?
I'm in on that. I'd like to go. It's a long flight. We need that lay flat.
How long
first
is
class.
That flight? You know, off the top of your head?
I mean, you got to fly to California.
Right, and then down, right?
And then you got to take another flight over to Hawaii. So it's probably what looking at 8 hours
probably
of travel.
Every bit, because to get out to Cali, it's what, 4 or 5
yeah,
hours?
I need that lay flat.
Columbus to Honolulu.
Thank you.
But it's definitely on my bucket list. Every time I see something on TV, whether it's a movie, TV show that's set in Hawaii, I'm like, it looks very chill there. The vibes look good. I'm assuming the seafood has to be decent.
I'd like to drink a Kona Big Wave beer in Hawaii. That's what I want.
That's how you're doing. Yeah. That's how you do it. So, yeah, I'm definitely in on that for sure. What you got, TLC? How long?
All right. So, I'm punching it in right now to Google Flights. So, we're going to leave on Monday. Okay. We're going to get back next Friday.
Great.
Holy cow. We can do this option here. Sends us to, what is Duels International? Anyone know? Anybody fly over? Maybe that's Seattle or something like that.
What is it?
Well, the thing is, we got time zones.
Washington? Is that Washington, and then you take one of them big old planes over there?
I think so. That might be, because here's what we're doing. We're flying an hour 23, but because of the time zones, so this is actually really hard to do the math because of how many time zones we're actually like making back while we're in the air. So it's going to be something, though.
Here's what I have on a quick Google AI overview. If we want to believe this or not.
I'm glad that you asked this question because that's easier than what I got.
A flight from Ohio to Hawaii typically takes between 11 and a half to 14 hours in total.
Are we saying the flight itself, or are we talking about layovers?
That says it's including at least one layover.
That's I'm here for that. I'm curious what the actual flights are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's so worth it, though.
You got one that's to
okay, here,
George
I got,
Bush International would be 3 hours from here, and then to Honolulu would be 8 hours and 16 minutes. So, was that 11 hours in the air?
Okay. That's about right.
I'm still just trying to figure out what Dulles International Airport
is. It's Washington.
Okay. But yeah. Or we could do 5 hours to San Francisco and 5.5 from San Francisco to Hawaii.
I would do that one.
Run that one by me again.
5 hours to San Francisco, and then 5.5 from.
I
want
to fly to the coast, and then I want to fly to Hawaii because one of those flights, if you're going anywhere else, is going to be extra long. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that.
Split it up.
Yeah,
5 and 5. I'm here for that. How long? Because I can't be in a car more than 3.5 hours driving.
If I'm driving or if I'm a passenger,
both.
If I'm driving, I can get you 10 hours. If I'm a passenger, I could sit in there all day.
Just sleep?
Yeah.
Can you sleep anywhere?
Yeah. Yes. The best thing I do.
People that say that they can't sleep on a plane, I'm like, that's unfortunate.
That's soft.
As soon as it is
unfortunate.
As soon as I get on the plane, I'm out, man.
I take early flights knowing that I'm going to take a nap once I get on the plane anyway.
I love it. You can't sleep on a plane, or you can, TLC?
I can.
You're up the entire time.
If I have a window seat and I can lean.
Yeah.
That's soft.
I can get you something.
Why are you worried about turbulent? Like what?
No,
you just can't get comfortable. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's just okay. I'm not built to sleep just sitting upright.
Yeah, throw your head back.
I got to lean a little bit.
Just throw your head back and close your eyes.
I sleep on my side though.
See, this is soft. This is what I'm talking about. Just throw your head back and close your eyes. Eventually, you fall asleep. I sleep on my side. I don't care. Toughen up.
Yes, sir.
Coming up in 2 minutes. Jonah Booker, a.k.a. J Book from Twitter, and he covers Ohio State very well for BuckNuts.com. He'll join us to talk all things Scarlet and Gray. We're Rothman and Ice right here.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony used to ski in his jeans? Are you serious? No, he's not from New Jersey. Back to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Going to light up the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline right now. Bring on Jonah Booker, a.k.a. Jay Book. Does an awesome job covering Ohio State over at 24/7s and bucknuts.com. Jay Book, welcome in, my man. How we feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you. You're a great follow on Twitter. I'm sure a lot of Buckeye fans are well aware of who you are. Let's get into it. I want to start with Julian Sand, and I want to get your thoughts on some of the chatter around Julian as far as his development right now, where he is amongst some of the guys that could come out in 2027. It's supposed to be a really good class of quarterbacks that can come out, and Julian is eligible to do that. But it seems like, Jay Book, that there's some people out there that are breaking down the film and all that that feels like maybe he's not quite ready. Let's talk about Julian, where you think he is right now going into year two.
I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. Does he have a lot to improve? Absolutely, but to be able to make it as a Heisman finalist your first year starting, that right there kind of tells you that, hey, he's the real deal. Ryan Day quarterbacks in year two usually take a big jump. So if you're to believe his track record, you would think, obviously, that Julian Sands poised to have a much better year. Now, does he need to get better? Absolutely. When you talk to the Buckeye fans on the message boards and social media, that the last couple games against Indiana and Miami left a sour taste in their mouth. And I think that's kind of a short-term memory of where he's at. But when you look at his overall picture, I think he is one of the best quarterbacks in college football. Now, with that being said, you would think that Arthur Smith coming in is going to be an upgrade. The only thing that I would say that I will worry about is this will be his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Can he put it all together? They seem to think so. A lot of confidence that Julian Sand really has the mental capacity to be able to handle Arthur Smith's system.
Well, I think a lot of that confidence as well comes from the supporting cast, and in particular, Jeremiah Smith, who probably the best individual player in college football. Is there anything in his game that he actually needs to work on in training camp, or is he as finished as you can be at this point?
There's definitely something that he can improve, and I think it's one thing that Cortez Hankton came in and said, that they absolutely needed to get better at yards after the catch. Jeremiah Smith, absolute beast, a demon when he's high pointing the football. But they pointed out, like, hey, you left a lot of yards still on the field. You got to get better with the yards after the catch. When you look at the pitches, I think he slimmed down some. He was a little bit bulkier last year. So Cortez Hankton, like day one, came in and said, hey, yards after catch, yards after catch. You guys have a great lineage of wide receivers. You guys obviously were great with Carnell Tate going into the first round. Jeremiah Smith, his accolade speaks for itself. But you guys were not as good as you could be after the catch. So I definitely think that's a major emphasis for him as well as the entire wide receiver room.
Jonah Booker from Bucknuts.com joining us here on Rothman and Ice. Let's stay there with the wide receiver room, because outside of Jeremiah, I think there's going to be some questions, right? Who are going to be the guys that can consistently catch the rock and be playmakers for Julian Sands? So when you look at that room, how do you feel about the depth at the moment?
That's the big question mark going into camp right now. I would say, to me, that's my major question regarding this offense, because you know Jeremiah Smith's going to demand that double coverage, bracket coverage over the top to try to slow him down. Do they have a second guy who's going to be able to make you pay if you do cheat towards Jeremiah's side? I don't know. They really need Brandon Ennis to have a much better year, a breakout year. They brought in a couple guys out of the transfer portal that they are really high on, Kyle Parker out of LSU. So I think they have it. Now we need to see it on the field. That's where it's all going to have to take place. But yeah, Jeremiah Smith, if you're going into a game, your number one emphasis as a defense and the defensive coordinator, you're going to say, hey, let's take him out the game. Let's prove that their passing game is legitimate enough to make us pay if we start cheating to his side. Coming out of the spring, I still have my question marks that they can make someone pay. Do they have the talent to do it? Absolutely. But it was a little early in the spring, a lot of transfers coming in. But I had the confidence with the staff that they have, the players that they brought in, that they'll be able to figure it out.
So I think it's interesting to hear you say that the wide receiver depth is your biggest concern, because I think a lot of fans would say that the offensive line and their ability to improve from last year is their biggest concern. So what is your confidence level that this offensive line is going to be championship caliber for this upcoming season?
Yeah, that's the one that a lot of people are looking at, the offensive line, because of the way that they played against Indiana and Miami down the stretch. There's no sugarcoating it. They did not play well. They really struggled with elite pass rushers. Going into this year, I think there's something to be said about having an experienced offensive line. This is one of the most experienced offensive line in all of college football. When you talk about combined starts, they're knocking on the door of 80-plus career starts amongst all of those guys. When you look at these guys, the one thing that I really paid attention to in the offseason, I think they really took it personal. And what I mean by that, you saw a lot of these guys spending their own money, their own resources, and going out there to train with Charles Bentley, going out to different offensive line academies and getting in that work in the off season. And if you thought these guys didn't care and they didn't hear the noise, you wouldn't see them spending their NIL money and their scholarship money going and getting better on their own. I do think Arthur Smith being there, he brought over one of his guys from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's also going to be assistant for the offensive line coach. I think that combination is going to really help these guys. And being able to have that veteran leadership all across the board is going to do well. I know Ohio State fans are going to point to Indiana and Miami, but I would say I'm confident this offensive line will be much better. We're going to find out early on down in Texas, and with this schedule, you're going to be able to tell if this offensive line improved or not. But I think with that veteran leadership, Arthur Smith bringing over his guys to help coach with that offensive line, the commitment in the offseason for those guys to get better, I think that bodes well for how they're going to look going into the season.
All right, J-Book, let's flip it over to the other line, because that's the one unit for me where it's question marks, right? Kenyatta Jackson returns. He comes back, going to try to build off of a solid season. But outside of that, there's just a lot of new. And sometimes new doesn't mean that these guys are going to play well. We just don't know much about them, right? So whether it's, you know, Bo Atkinson coming back for another year, James Smith coming in, you got some other guys down there in the trenches that are going to have to make names for themselves. And so when you look at that unit coached by Larry Johnson, how do you feel about the direction of the defensive line at the moment?
I think you have a lot of guys with names, but they need to put it together as a unit. To me, the biggest wild card in this is they need to get the most out of Edric Houston. I if you sit down and gave him some truth serum, I'm sure he would tell you last year was not the type of year that he wanted. Keep in mind, he came into the season banged up, and I don't think he was really his true self. They really need Edric Houston to live up to that five-star status that he was coming in with out of Georgia. So you look at him, you look at the Bama transfers that's coming in that you mentioned. Bo Atkinson is another transfer last year out of North Carolina. They really need to get him there. John Walker is the one that I'm looking at. I think he has the potential to be steady starting next to Edric Houston at the defensive tackle position. So they have a lot of guys. They have a lot of body. Will Smith, but can they bring it down in, down out? That's the big thing. You can feel comfortable that Larry Johnson will absolutely have his guys ready. And Matt Patricia's scheme, he's going to be able to do a lot of different things depending on the opponent to try to get those guys the advantage. Now, they also tinker with bringing Christian Allegro, the linebacker transfer from Wisconsin, down into the box and having him kind of get after the quarterback. And you look at him with his size, he's about 6'3", 6'4", linebacker in that 230 to 240 range. So they tinker with him trying to play on that edge a little bit as well. So I think that this Ohio State defensive front, it has a lot of potential. They just need to be able to play together as a unit.
Real quick, J-Book, the potential for the secondary, what do you think the ceiling for that group is this year?
I feel good. Jermaine Matthews, he has to have a short-term memory. I know that he kind of struggled down the stretch there. The secondary would definitely need him to be able to get back to that Jermaine Matthews type of play that we saw at versus Texas to begin the season. I mean, he was absolutely blanket coverage in everyone. You look at Jalen McClain on the back end, I think he's going to be that leader. He's been that dude of the week for Ohio State a couple times this summer. I think him learning from Caleb Downs is going to pay dividends. The secondary, I think with their potential, they do have the ability to be rock solid. You look at Sanchez at the other side of the corner, he's going to be really good. Leroy Roker is kind of that name that a lot of people don't talk about. He was a lower three-star guy, one of the lowest guys in the class. I believe Mark Pantone had mentioned that they were kind of looking at him but wasn't too sure, and then when they saw Iowa offer Roker, and Iowa's kind of their pedigree of pulling gems out of different places at the defensive back position, gave them the green light to go ahead and offer him. But he played himself onto the field quite a bit in that second team role, and he's going to be in the battle for the other starting safety position. So that's one to keep an eye on once they open up training camp. But when you look at this secondary, I definitely think that they have the potential to be really good.
No doubt. Jay Buck, that's good stuff, my man. We appreciate you as always. Good catching up with you. I'm sure we'll be talking to you down the line. His training camp's getting ready to rock and roll here just in a little bit. Thanks for your time.
All right. Take care, my friend.
There you go. Jonah Booker from BuckNuts.com. Follow him on Twitter at JBook_37. So that's what's always fun to me, JP, is like we know obviously there's high-end talent over there, right? Yep. So you're not playing at Ohio State if you're not a dude. But is it going to come together? And how quickly can it come together, especially on defense, when you look at that second game and having to go on the road this year?
It's a different challenge. I've been through years where we felt like we had time to get right. Yeah. This is not one of those years where, and the expanded playoff certainly makes it feel a little bit different. You're not out of it, but you want to go down there and get a dub, and you want to play some of your best ball, not peaking, but you know, have a really good performance. So this training camp is going to be important.
How open is the Bengals Super Bowl window? One NFL analyst from the network will tell you next. We're Rothman and Ice, right? Benefits.
Email from a listener. What exactly is Common Man and Timmy supposed to be? How can I put this? A couple of immature men who love to have mindless conversation, laugh, and dabble in sports. And farts.
Weekdays at 3.
And there you go. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. Home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Matty is a diehard Reds fan. I mean, where else is he going to go? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. You know, during the break, you never know who's going to stop by. So, you know, one DeVere Posey stops by during the segment, and we're talking relationships, talking kids, talking everything during the break. But it's always good to see Depot stopping by, man. And I always like to see when you guys get together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the former Buckeyes checking in on each other. It's always good to see.
It's funny, man, because, like, a lot of guys who I see around and I'm close with now, I didn't even play with. You know, they're from different eras, but we all got that thing in common. Depot, it's one of those guys who never shared a field together, but he's phenomenal.
It's that, what is it, that brotherhood that we hear about?
Brotherhood.
Just links you guys forever,
it's
man.
Real.
Links you guys forever. Down there in Cincinnati, the Bengals, you could argue, are a team that is on the cusp of greatness. And we've been saying that for years, right? With this unit on offense that they have, they've got so much high-end talent that it just feels like they should be cashing in more. And I'm not even talking about Super Bowls. I'm not a Super Bowl or bust guy. I think that gets very, very dicey. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be an anchor to a guy's legacy. If you didn't go to this many Super Bowls.
I'm with you.
It's so hard right now. You're a quarterback of a certain caliber and a team of a certain caliber with a certain level of talent. You should be ripping off some playoff wins and all of those things in an AFC championship, NFC championship or two along the way. That's my measuring stick. Mm-hmm. It's not, hey, this guy didn't win a Super Bowl, so his career, everything else that he did, is not worthy of talking about. Like, I don't view it that way. How do you view it?
Yeah, I think that I look at things as what they are. Winning a championship is such a narrow thing to try to judge somebody on, like you did or you didn't win it, and I'm going to define you off of that. No, but I'm going to say, like, did you meet expectations? Did you overachieve? Did you underachieve?
Mm-hmm.
And so for a team with talent, but looking at you, defense isn't right.
Yeah.
Can't make runs in the postseason. I know the injuries are something that you can't control, but it feels like quarterback's been hurt a little bit too much at times. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to judge you and grade you on those things, not, oh, did you win the whole thing? Like, that's just, it's hard to do.
Fair. Totally fair. Willie Colon, former NFL player, now working over at the NFL Network. They were talking about some teams that may be running out of time, and the Bengals popped up, and here's what Willie Colon had to say about them.
Comes down to Zach Taylor really coaches September like it's December. They have to start out a lot faster. This team was 6-11 last season, and sure, it was because of the health of Joe Burrow. He fought his way back out there, but it simply wasn't enough. They just have to start faster. And even, listen, Joe Burrow's been hurt, and if he gets hurt again, there's no excuse for this team, because of the talent and because of the new defense they have, that they should go through muddy waters until Joe gets back again. They should still be able to compete and put forth a solid effort and win games because of their current roster. Joe Burrow, he's the end-all, be-all. I get that. But right now, the Cincinnati Bengals have done enough in the offseason where they should win some games on the road and scare some people at home. So I think it comes down to Zach Taylor. There's no more excuses about we'll figure it out, we'll make it work, we'll kind of buy time if Joe Burrow gets hurt. No, they got to come out swinging. They have to come and play with an edge that scares people right now, because we know they can score points. And now with Dexter Lawrence and a host of other guys, man, they on paper, they look scary. They look legit, but they have to prove it. And so I'm kind of like, all right, Bengals, man, we've been watching a lot of bad football for a long time. It's time to show up and deliver. This has to be Zach Taylor's coming out party, man. He has to kind of put the naysayers to rest and show up and get it done.
There's no doubt what he said about Zach Taylor, I think, rings true, right?
Right.
To me, Zach Taylor is somewhat proven. He was a part of that Super Bowl run. We understand what he is. He's a solid head coach for sure. Is he a difference-making head coach in the same way I view like a Kyle Shanahan? Not really.
Yeah.
But that's okay. When you have the guy that they have in Joe Burrow, I think with his head coaching prowess, I think that's a good enough combination there. But he touched on something that I think leads back to the defense, because he talked about, let's say if Joe Burrow has to unfortunately sit down for a game or two because of injury, how can they hold things down? That to me is directly linked to the defense.
Yes.
Because that to me, with or without Joey B on Sundays, and hopefully more times than not, it's obviously with him, the defense has to come along and not put your offense in harm's way with the amount of times that those guys have to play snaps. And two, just the amount of big plays, man, that they gave up was just disgusting, honestly, a season ago. And so if they just shored that up, we're talking about a team that's right there. To me, they are right there with the additions that they made. But that's the key in all of this, is that whether or not Joey B is there, this defense has to get out of the dungeon where they were a year ago when you looked at them giving up almost 29 points a game. 30th in the league.
Totally there with you. It's why it's the ultimate team sport. Like, both sides have to come to play. And I think they have had some of that undue stress, right? Unfortunate situations where maybe your best player, your franchise, is not available.
Right.
And you have that pressure for multiple weeks. But once again, you're a professional player. You're getting paid as well. Mm-hmm. And what we saw from them was completely unacceptable. The Bengals have been such a unique thing for me to watch over the last few years. And I've made this commentary. It just feels like the Joe Burrow tenure there, outside of the year where they made the Super Bowl appearance, has been empty cows. And I'm not saying that's all necessarily on him, but it feels like we do this thing where it's like, oh man, they got one of the top quarterbacks in the game. Look at the wide receivers, and this is their chance, and they have a path to do this and do that. And then we're sitting here telling the same story every year.
Right.
So I actually get the maybe fatigue or frustration of people who cover this sport that are like, at some point, you do something impressive, or we're just watching you doing cardio right now, and that's no fun.
They're getting a ton of grace, and I think teams and athletes get a bunch of grace when you pop up in the most important game or win the most important game.
Right.
So I think it's the combination of that brand popping up in the Super Bowl not that long ago and how great Joey B is, but we are now talking about 3 years in a row of the Bengals not being in the postseason.
Yeah.
So that, to your point, you got to start reminding some folks. It can't just be what you were years ago.
And, you know, like, how great is an organization, how great is a player when that's what your resume says right now?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like there's a lot to fill in there, some gaps in the resume compared to what we see on tape sometimes and on paper.
The same way that I feel about Joey B right now in the Bengals, the same way I feel about Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's interesting.
I can still acknowledge how great they are as individual talents. But when you go back and look at where Pat Mahomes has been the last 2 to 3 seasons based off of the standard he set early on in his career. We're not talking about that utter dominance of just all these big time plays and just all that stuff that we saw early on. I think both of those guys have to remind everybody why they get the praise that they get, because they've earned it. But now it's time to reassure everybody.
Feels like we got there a little bit quicker with Pat than we did with Joe B, though.
Pat entered GOAT conversations very fast.
He did.
Which
I think deservedly
so. You thought it was deserving?
Yes. The way that he was able to come out and basically build himself into a dynasty early, like, I don't see why people wouldn't start having those conversations.
The only reason why I push back on it is because that wasn't allowed when LeBron was ripping off his first couple championships.
It was allowed by me.
That was the biggest no-no. That you can't even utter those names in the same sentence
talking about different people. That was allowed by me. Because when I see greatness, I know what greatness looks like. Other people, they want to qualify it in all these different ways except for what their eyeballs tell them.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that.
It was crazy that some of the same people that were, hey, you... LeBron's not even close to Jordan. Not even close to Jordan. He's got three and he's still not even close.
Jordan didn't have a left hand.
Pat Mahomes wins a couple of them, and we're talking Joe Montana and Tom Brady.
Well,
just odd to me. Just odd. Coming up after the break, ESPN has ranked every single roster in the NFL. Who's got the best roster in the league according to their experts? Where are the Browns and Bengals stacking up? We will tell you next with Rothman and Ice.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. After 266 wins, over 3,500 strikeouts, and 3 Cy Youngs, Justin Verlander announced today he will retire after this season, his 21st in the big leagues. Injuries have held him to just one start in his second stint with the Tigers, but Commissioner Rob Manfred named Verlander to his 10th Midsummer's Classic as a Legends pick. Tonight, Reds visit the Phillies at 7:10, Guardians visit the Twins at 7:40. Tennis, Wimbledon men's quarters, wildcard entry Arthur Ferry stunned 9th-ranked Flavio Cavoli, while 2nd-ranked Alexander Zverev, top 6th-ranked Taylor Fritz, both in straight sets. Ladies' quarters, 9th-ranked Lena Noskova beat 25th-ranked Elise Mertens, while 12th-ranked Marta Kostyuk, top 13th-ranked Jasmine Paolini in straight sets as well. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. BMIFCU.org/Visa.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
Hour number 3, welcome back in. 2:30, Bobby Carpenter stops by. It's always good catching up with him. You know, we were talking about Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow in our last segment. You know, I kind of brought up the fact that I'd be a fool not to acknowledge how elite these guys are. Both of them are going to go to the Hall of Fame. We get it. And then I brought up how surprised I was early on in Pat Mahomes' career that there were people willing to grant him, you know, into the inner circle of the GOAT conversation that early. I always watched him and thought one day he could definitely get there with how good he is and who he's linked to with Andy Reid and all of those things. I just thought it was a little premature. And so we were having a little conversation during the break about just let's remind ourselves of what his resume is right now and hit us with a JP.
Yeah, I mean, like it's insane because it hasn't been the length of career of some of the other guys, but you got 3 Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 NFL MVPs, an Offensive Player of the Year. You go through some of the NFL records he has, passing yards per game, passing touchdowns in a postseason, total touchdowns in a postseason, total yards in a season, fastest to 10,000 career passing yards, 20,000, 30,000, fastest to 100 career passing touchdowns, 200, 250, right? Like you go down, and I feel like that to me is why he's in the conversation, is he did so much so early in his career, where if he retired tomorrow,
he's in the inner circle conversation.
His resume is full.
He's in that. There's no doubt his key card works. And that's that, you know, we're talking about prime earlier, Deion Sanders, how he said he think there should be another room in the Hall of Fame, like the one percenters of the Hall of Fame. Brady's in there.
Yes.
Montana is in there.
Yes.
And Pat Mahomes, to your point, if he retired today, would be in there as well.
So that's what becomes really interesting about this. Like, if he plays another 10 years and doesn't win another championship, are we going to be like, oh, he's ass?
No, that'd be crazy.
But I feel like there's going to be a lot of people who would be like, he was out there getting cardio for a decade and a half after those initial Super Bowls. He was just out there playing for the fun of the game.
That'd be foolish to
me. We're looking at a hot pack of ass. That's what people would say. This is where we are in society. People would be like, oh, yeah, all those other years where he didn't actually win a title, those don't even count. Mm-hmm. So we got all these empty calorie years. Never mind all of the great things he did at the beginning of his career.
Yeah, that would be insane. I am very curious to see, though, JP, the post Andy Reid era for Pat Mahomes, because you talk about, well, yes, that's going to be one of the more coveted jobs in the NFL when it comes available. That's also one of the more pressure packed situations
that you're walking into. Right? You want to pair him with one of the great quarterbacks? Bring him back.
If I can get Bill paired with a great QB and have my own GM, I think it can work. If he is not on board with that, then I got an issue. But, you know, coming out of Texas Tech, because we were talking earlier about just like Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun and how those guys were talked about coming out. Pat is on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Good prospect coming out.
Yep.
Fun stuff at Texas Tech. Had the banger of a game with Baker and Oklahoma, I think, that just lives on forever when you look at the numbers for both of them. I'm pretty sure that was the matchup. But to my memory, JP, he wasn't the, hey, this is one of the next GOATs coming out of college. No. And he's transformed himself into that. Had to wait a little bit of time behind Alex Smith. But I think that speaks to JP. Fit coming out, right?
Right.
Like, we've seen certain guys with elite skill sets go to situations that aren't a good fit, and their career kind of gets off to a clunky start. For Mahomes, he had everything come together with the ability to slow things down with not having to play right away. Andy Reid, and then with how good he is already.
Yeah, it's, you know, he had some of that fanfare, but a lot of people were probably looking like, okay, he's putting up video game numbers against some of these Big 12 defenses. How much do we trust this? He's another one of those guys that I think is hard to project because he doesn't necessarily play within structure, play in a system. He kind of does his own thing. But you get a coach like Andy Reid who's like, I know exactly how to coach a guy like right. that. I think he can see a little bit beyond just some of the typical standards. And then you start to look at how these quarterback classes go, right? Mitch Trubisky. Same class. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you'll make these comparisons. How could you ever miss that? I think a lot of people probably would have at the time.
And Mitch Trubisky was a small sample size guy too, I believe, coming out as far as games played. It wasn't a bunch. I don't even know if it was 20. Why do I have the number 13?
Because he was a one-year starter?
How many games was it? Either way, it was a very, very small sample size. And Pat Mahomes had some really good stuff. I want to go actually back and look at
13 starts.
Okay.
For Mitch Trubisky.
That was the number.
And so 13. It's like, but, you know, he was the guy who was kind of the belle of the ball. He was the darling there. And Patrick Mahomes was a little bit more under the radar when it came to that draft class.
And then you get Mahomes together with Hall of Fame talents and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. It's the perfect storm.
If you could put a young, gifted quarterback with a safety blanket kind of tight end that also has game-breaking ability, too.
Yes.
Like, it would be like if you had a young Antonio Gates type. You and I were talking about him, where he's such a crafty dude, but when he was younger, like, you know, he could make you some...
Yeah, he was getting to it.
He was getting to it. Like, it's, again, situation you can't just create because there aren't many guys like that, but it was perfect.
It was just you had what you just described with Travis and his ability to do everything as a tight end. And then you had the BB, that speed with Tyreek Hill to where you get it to him right now. That dude is gone, or he just runs by everybody. And so they put you in a bind when they were at their peak. And that's what I'm looking for now from Kansas City.
Sure.
Is can they get back to that? This is one of the more trying times for Pat Mahomes right now in his NFL career, right? With the injury, where they've been the last couple of seasons, the numbers not being as eye-popping as they have been in the past. And so now you turn the page to this upcoming season. He's recovering from this injury. Mm-hmm. You look around the division and it's like, well, wait a minute. The Broncos are one of the best teams in the entire sport.
Yes.
You've got the Raiders who feel like they found their franchise quarterback. We'll see what that looks like. And then you've got this Chargers team that I'm in on.
Sure.
I'm in on the Chargers.
Are you in on them in the postseason?
That's a very fair question.
It's a great question.
But I like the addition, JP, of Mike McDaniel as the offensive coordinator. My point in this is you don't like that?
Well, I just want to pause here.
Okay.
That has to be the weirdest meeting room in the National Football League. I mean, imagine Jim up there, mouth agape, while McDaniel is drawing up plays and what the communication back and forth between those two guys has to be like.
Has to be insanity.
Like, I want a video camera in there. I want to see.
Yeah, Hard Knocks. Take us inside that
I want to see.
Take us inside that room. Call me crazy, JP. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work. I think Mike McDaniel's one and done in LA. I think it'll be a head coach next year.
I think there's something to this idea of a more traditional offensive guy who loves quarterbacks and the new age offensive guy who also likes mm-hmm. the quarterbacks and the toys and how they can push and pull together.
We just saw what Mike McDaniel was able to do with Tua.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there's a higher ceiling to be had. Now, the weaponry in LA right now isn't what it was in Miami with Tyreek and Achan and Waddle and those guys. But I just think they're going to figure it out. And I just think for the Chiefs, it's not as comfy as it was. Because that was the other part of the early portion of the Reed Mahomes era is the AFC West was pretty light. It wasn't what it is now, what I think it will be moving forward. But if he's healthy, they get a stout defense. He is such a difference maker that he can do anything and everything there. And he's that.
I feel like if that is going to be a tight league and games are going to be tight contests, I think you would look at Patrick Mahomes and you would look at everybody else who has the opportunity to touch the rock at the end of the game and say that you trust Patrick Mahomes more.
He put the squad on his back last year, which you can make an argument that led to his demise a little bit with the injury, with how much he had to run. But that's a core that's been there, done that. And when you look at the head coach quarterback combination, you'd be hard pressed to find one that's better than those guys. But in that division too, Herbert and Harbaugh,
it's pretty good.
Knicks and Sean Payton as well. That's pretty darn good there. So let's stick with that, JP, and let's bounce around the NFL and look at some of these divisions that we think are going to be fairly tight in 2026. We'll do that after the break. It's Rothman and Ice.
Bishop and Friends.
You felt confident in that one because you've always had a very elite ability to mount men dating back to your time at DeSales.
There's nothing wrong with wrestling.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll keep that mix of sun and clouds going for the rest of the day. It's a warm one out there with highs in the upper 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, lower 70s. Then for your Thursday, partly sunny skies once again. There may be a few showers and storms out there later on. Otherwise warm, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
1, 2, 3.
Here at The Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Rothman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, JP, before we lock in on some of the divisions and what Vegas thinks right now, I did mention moments ago about ESPN, they stacked up every single roster right now going into the 2026 season. And so let's start with the Bengals. Take a guess, JP, where you think they have the Bengals ranked, their roster amongst all 32 in the league right now.
That is among all 32.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, give me like 13.
You're close.
What was it?
15. So they have them at 15.
It's about right.
Yeah, that feels appropriate. The Cleveland Browns are coming in at 31.
Oof.
Which
it feels like that's a big
slow to me.
It does, but it's the big quarterback is a question. Yeah. The weapons on the outside are young.
Miles
the running
is gone.
Back
yeah.
is banged up and he's young.
That's fair. I don't think they're going to finish as the second worst team in the league this year.
I don't think they're good. Well, they could, but I don't think that would be reflective of their actual roster.
I agree. I completely agree with what you said there. Worst roster in the league, according to all the writers at ESPN. That is the Miami.
Oh, I would have gotten it wrong.
Who were you going to guess?
I would have said Arizona.
It's Miami Dolphins, man.
I knew the Dolphins were down there. Yeah, Raiders got to be down there too, right?
They have the Miami Dolphins at 32, which poor Malik Willis. I mean, he got his bag, so I'm not going to feel too bad for him. But my goodness, that's an uphill climb. And he may be in a situation where he's a one-year starter.
Yes.
And then they move on to somebody else that's coming out of the draft.
I think that's exactly what they wanted.
I feel like that's where this is headed. But good for him. He cashed in. TLC, you asked about the Arizona Cardinals. There is a, looks like, what do we got here? A two-way tie at 29th.
Cardinals and Raiders.
Cardinals and Falcons. Which I think they're going to be better than that.
Who?
The Falcons, I think, are not going to be the 29th worst team in the NFL.
Will they have a quarterback that's actually healthy?
Fair question. But I think if Tua Tagovailoa is upright for them, I think that
he should stop playing football.
You think he should just retire?
It's hard for me to watch what he looks like when he takes that hit. And I've seen it too many times, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's tough.
Spoken like someone who retired due to concussion.
Yeah, I'm a little sensitive. Yeah, you're a fan.
Respect, respect. Arizona TLC. 29th. How do you feel about that? Jacoby Brissett, question marks right now.
Yeah, that's fitting.
But, yeah, I mean, that's where they should want to be, I think, at the end of this year. Like, there's certain teams to where you want to be down here. Like, you don't want to fast track yourself into the middle of the pack, win 7-8 games, and then take yourself out of what could be an elite draft pick. So them being down there, all those teams, I think.
For the GM, it depends on who your head coach and GM are.
True.
The Cardinals are restarting with the first year head coach, so clean slate, should be understood what they are inheriting.
Right.
Why am I forgetting? Is it Raheem Morris? Who's in Atlanta? Why am I?
It's Kevin Stefanski.
Oh, holy yeah. Okay, so there you go. Another first-year head coach, even though this is not his first stint. So,
and he picked Tua, right? So you're attached to that. Like, I don't. It's only so many options.
Listen to how you said that.
1 year, though.
Listen to how you said that. You're attached to that, right? Like, listen to how you just said that. They're exactly where they need to be on this list.
Okay. All right. Number one. Who do you think's number one right now? According to ESPN, best roster in the whole darn league.
Number.
Don't overthink it.
The only way that you couldn't come up with this is if your brain is currently in college football mode and not in NFL mode.
Well, that's usually where my brain resides. Yeah, I know. So I'm struggling to think of who I would have at the.
They just made a big trade.
I would say it's the Rams.
There you go. It's the Rams because what's kind of being put on the back burner a little bit is the acquisition of Trent McDuffie.
Yeah.
And people, I think that'll pop up again with how good of a move that was for them. Because I just think, JP, that has a chance to be a really special pairing. Miles up front with an elite corner like that on your number one wide receiver. Though those guys should cook together.
So here's a question, I guess, based off of this. Do we think more teams should try to adopt the front office philosophy of the Rams?
Blank them picks?
Yeah, where it's like we can have these picks and take a guy we think is going to be good because we believe our big brains are so smart that we can project the future, or we say screw them and we just go get guys that we know are good today.
Let me ask you this. What has to trigger that mentality? Because I think for the Rams, they've been caught in a Super Bowl-ish window for a while, right? They had Goff, they had Gurley, that team for a few years, and then now they are where they are. And they were right in doing so, by the way, with getting rid of Goff and bringing in Stafford. I think if you're a team that's been on the cusp over a 2 to 3 year window, then I think you go that way. If you're one of the teams right now, like the Cardinals, the Browns, certain teams like the Raiders, I don't think you go blank them picks mode.
Well,
just
no,
yet.
But I think if you're the Raiders and Fernando Mendoza in a few years is that guy, then and Ashton Jeanty in a few years is that guy,
you go.
Yes,
you go, and especially while you have the quarterback on a rookie contract.
Bingo.
So I think a team like the Bears this year, next year, we brought up Caleb Williams earlier. He shows you that he's this guy. You go. You go all in and you be aggressive when you have the financial flexibility to make aggressive moves and bring in a guy or two that may cost you a pretty penny.
It intrigues me because I feel like they've taken, and it's a hard thing to actually pull off, but they've taken the guesswork out of talent acquisition and roster building because they're going for the known commodities. Yeah. rather than everybody else who's like, oh, we'll do it traditionally through the draft and then we're, you know, we're going to go out and get who we can in free agency. They're like, nah, we're just, we don't even care about them draft picks.
We don't care.
It doesn't matter.
And for the Rams, they got bodied a little bit for the Ty Simpson thing and selecting him 13th overall and those things.
Interesting move.
It's interesting, but I can't go all the way with dunking on them for that because this is the one-off that they did, right?
The reason I would dunk on them is I think they could have had different intel from all their little people in the war room, but couldn't you have traded back?
It's a good question.
Now, I don't know if anybody would have traded up with them. Like, you have to find a trade partner, but it felt high for the idea that there were a lot of people who thought it was just going to be Fernando and nobody else in the first.
And it speaks to their how much they believe in him to not move back. Because I agree with you that that would have been a smart move. Grab some more picks and still get your guy.
I like Ty, though. His issue for me is the amount of starts, which he's sitting. So you can take that off the table. And he lost a ton of weight during the season. So then he had the bad back or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But beat up. People forget that up until October and beyond, through October, pretty much Halloween, we're like, this guy's going to win the Heisman.
Yeah, he looked the part in the first half of the season. There's no question about it.
Then their offensive line started looking bad. That's not his fault. He had to start playing hero ball. Mm-hmm. They could never run the football. That wasn't his fault. I like the guy.
So that's why I look at where they are right now. They did both in one off season.
They did.
They stayed in the blank them picks lane.
Which is crazy.
By trading for Trent McDuffie.
Think about what they did.
And then they went the other way and said, you know what? Let's put a little in the savings account, too.
Yeah.
And that's Ty Simpson.
An insurance policy.
We can still win the Super Bowl right now.
Yep.
And by the way, all the stuff I mentioned, there was one more big move. That was Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
And so they've been really aggressive and conservative at the same time in one all season. I don't think it's the worst plan. I think people are looking at a little bit, JP, of what happened in Atlanta. And I think that's bleeding into this decision for the Rams and people questioning it, right? Because for the Falcons, it was Kirk Cousins.
Right.
We bring him in off a torn Achilles, hit him with a bag, and we're also going to double dip and take Penix.
Right.
And that hasn't necessarily worked out. I think this, if Sean McVay is still there, I think that's going to work out better for them than it has for Atlanta. Coming in at number two is the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'll just round out the top five. The Eagles at two, Seattle Seahawks, your reigning champs, at three, Buffalo Bills at four, and then the Baltimore Ravens at five. Go ahead. What you got?
Well, I'm just curious if Joe Brady is ready for a roster like that with the Bills.
I'm also curious, an in-house hire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but what difference is he going to make on a team when he was under the old regime?
Well, I think he brings a different personality, but clearly there were people in that building who said he has to be here.
The main guy is probably Josh Allen.
I'm assuming. Yeah. I don't know this to be fact, but I think that's how you get to that. And once again, that's cool. I'm not under the impression that just because you were an elite play caller or an elite developer at a certain position that you're going to be a very good head coach. I don't think those are all linear skills.
I agree.
Transfer.
I think there are certain coaches that are really, really good coordinators, and there are certain guys that, to your point, can handle everything.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot more than, as a head coach, hey, this play, that play, this guy, that guy. It's all the off-the-field stuff, all the media.
It's everything.
So much that can come along with this. So to your point, is Joe, and we've been hearing Joe Brady's name for years.
Sure
now.
We have.
He was attached to that LSU team with Joey
Put
B
him on
and all
mat.
That. And so now, I think he was with Carolina for a little bit of time and maybe somewhere else. And now he's in a pressure pack situation. But hey, if you want to grab the keys to a franchise, grab the keys to a franchise that has an MVP caliber quarterback attached to it.
True.
And they definitely have that in Josh Allen. Coming up in 2 minutes, Bobby Carpenter is going to stop by to talk all things Buckeyes and a lot more with Rothman and Ice.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back, kid. Joshua Perry in the building again today. TLC, where are we at with the general?
Efforting.
Okay, efforting. The general, he's a busy, busy man.
He's not that busy.
He I feel like he's just always out and about. He does so many things, man. Bobby just, he's like you. I feel like when you're not here, I just see you popping up everywhere, especially
Bobby's
during football season.
Much more going on than I do.
Bobby's doing serious in his own show, and he's teaching, and he's got businesses.
He's got businesses.
He's
on the Candy Burris plan.
He is doing that. So we were talking in our last segment, JP, about ESPN's article, and we'll get to that maybe and tell the truth. We've got the general with us now. Bobby, welcome in, my man. How we feeling today?
I'm feeling good, sir. Sorry, I was literally standing up to pull my phone out, and my leg cramps. And I dropped it, so I know Cole is trying to get a hold of me. It's not funny, Josh. It was terrible.
I'm not even the one laughing. I was getting ready to ask, are you not hydrating? Did you just work out? What happened?
No, I think the problem is I actually drink too much water, and I flush everything. It's like that's my main issue. And I had a quad and hamstring cramp at the same time, so it was really a bad situation for me.
Okay. You say you flush everything, like all the electrolytes are gone, and you can't get the muscles to contract the way you need them to? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, that's what you're saying is basically it. That's what I was told from Dr. Sue and Sean Barnhouse. Is like, dude, you must be drinking too much water, and you're flushing all your electrolytes. I'm like, all right, so you're telling me I'm like the only American that needs to eat more salt in this world is basically where we're going with this?
Good for you. Old salt tablets.
Exactly. Hey, Bobby, I couldn't wait to get your reaction to the Sean Payton, Bill Belichick thing that popped up. You saw that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. What? You know, I tell set off, I'm like, I'm generally aware of everything that goes on in the sports world. Like, it's kind of the job. So, you know, if something happens, I hope that I'm aware. If not, I'd be like, hey, give me a little clarity. But, yeah, that was a thing.
So back in 2024, it sounds like Sean Payton was clearing the runway for Bill to come back in and be the guy. So hit us with your thoughts on that. And then do you think he's coming back to the NFL, right, to grab that record at some point, isn't he?
Well, the thing is, I think he's got to get hired. And that's why I think Sean, like looking at this and knowing Sean a decent amount, you know, he's a Bill Parcells disciple. If you ever listen to like Sean Payton talk, and then you listen to like Todd Bowles talk, or you listen to Dan Campbell talk, or Aaron Glenn, like all these guys who played or coached for Parcells, like all their messaging is like highly congruent. I mean, they talk about things in the same way. And I think just with that relationship and the respect that Sean Payton has for Bill Belichick as a coach and just his general knowledge and history of the game, I think he saw that, you know, when he didn't get hired in that hiring cycle, you know, and you know, there was some like Atlanta was coming down to him and Raheem Morris, and you know, I think Kraft and maybe kind of poisoned the well a little bit. And you hire Raheem Morris, so you know, he did okay, but like you fired in the NFL, listen, you know, a lot of guys get fired within 3 years, so like it's not anything bad, but you're like, okay, well, if a guy who's won 6 Super Bowls, you have a pretty good team, you know, maybe you should, you know, take a swing with him. But you know, I think Kraft had kind of told off. Pretty good job. And you can talk about whether it's him or Tom Brady or whatever it is, you know, but I think a lot of those owners, you know, you take a chop with that guy and see what he's got. So I think Sean looked at that and said, man, if he's getting blackballed like this and, you know, people aren't really respecting him the way that they should, and I can bring him in and be part of this. And I mean, Sean's won a Super Bowl as well. And a lot of people view him as one of the better offensive minds in the NFL. Like, hey, we'll bring him in. I'll ride shotgun. Like, we'll co-coach this thing. You take the defense, I'll take the offense. We'll talk back and forth, and you can go get the record, and I can be a part of you getting that. Because I think that's just the deference that he has for Bill and what he's done.
All right, Bobby, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Ohio State here, and not so much about the team just yet, but, you know, they've got all these little off-season deals that they're doing. They're going paintballing. They're doing the Summer Olympics. I actually saw some of the guys at the golf course a few weeks ago. Do you have any off-season memories either in the Woody or maybe outside of the Woody that you would like to share?
What's interesting is, you know, Marcus Freeman was actually on a podcast. I can't remember with who. Oh, Cam Hayward's podcast, talking about this. And Bodie brought this up this morning on the Juice because he's like, and he played it. And he was like, you know, I got there. He's like, it was crazy. You know, he's like, we had AJ and Troy and Bobby's like, you know, and they're talking about like leading and doing things, you know, in a, you know, kind of team bonding and leading. And I'm like, yeah, he goes, I can't even tell some of these stories on here because they're so ridiculous. But I mean, we did a lot of stuff like where, you know, you're just pulling pranks on guys. And, you know, maybe some of them people might view as kind of ridiculous and maybe mildly, you know, unsanitary, I guess.
Unsanitary?
Well, I mean, did you like peeing on other dudes' legs? I mean, okay. You're in the shower, for heaven's sake. I mean, I don't know. People like think that's gross. I'm like, dude, you get peed on a lot by my kids growing up. Like, and
it's
I was
a different
like,
thing.
On my arm and maybe, yeah. Well, I mean, is it? I mean, it's yeah, all.
I mean,
urine,
some of the guys know? that were doing the peeing probably were getting penicillin shots the night before. I'm not worried about that with my children, Bobby.
That is true, but also, like, believe me, our great trainer, Doug Callahan, told us that he's like, you're in sterile. Patches O'Houlihan in Dodgeball told us that you're in sterile. You know, I mean, is it really necessary I drink my own urine? No, but it's sterile and I like the taste. So he said there's nothing transferable there. And so we used to do some nonsense like that. And, you know, we'd sit there and, you know, draw things on guys, you know, shirts and pads and, you know, shoulder pads and, you know, just mess around. And then, honestly, like, these guys don't like drink and party. Like, we would take the young guys out. Like, when Marcus and James got there and Curtis Terry, and it's like, dude, we're going to go out tonight. And then they'd be like, okay. It's like, all right. I mean, it's not like hazing. But like, dude, we're going to go out, and we're not making you drink, but you're going to drink what I drink. And so we're going to turn you into a dude, all right? And then you're going to go to practice with us the next day, and you're going to learn how to be tough. Like, people talk about toughness. Okay, I say, you know what, it's easy to go play when you've slept in a hotel bed and you're fully hydrated and you got a good night's sleep. It's easy to practice and wake up and be tough. You want to talk about being tough? Like, let's try operating off 4 to 5 hours of sleep. You know, you're rolling in there, you're asking yourself, like, I'm driving in this morning. I'm hoping if I got pulled over, I'd pass the breathalyzer. Like, this is where we're at. And so that's the camaraderie. That's the toughness you build because everybody's looking at you and like, how are you doing this? I'm like, you know how I'm doing this? Because this is how the guys that did it before me did it. And then all of a sudden you just develop that extra layer of toughness of being able to handle things. And so when guys come in, the freshmen, you're like, hey, you guys are rookies, man. You'll learn how to deal with it. It's kind of like being a parent, JP. Like, how do you operate off less sleep? We just kind of figure it out, you know?
Just
take
wake
some
up.
Pre-workout, hit some coffee, you know?
That's
your
right.
Your legs at like 400 milligrams of coffee and, you know, 50 milligrams of Zins. Your heart's beating like 100. You're like in the orange just walking around, but you're ready
undefeated
to go.
Undefeated combo.
Good stuff, man. You throw, Maddie, what you do, you get the black coffee and you put the Zins in them like marshmallows and they kind of float around, you know, like little bobbers. And
then the Schlage special? Is that what you're calling? The Schlage special right there? Bobby
absolutely.
Carpenter
joining
us.
You got to stack your stimulants, Maddie. You know, put them on top of each
That's
other.
That's right. Get a nice stack going.
Fair enough. Bobby Carpenter joined us here on Rothman and Ice. You know, we were having some fun earlier with the Brett Yormark and the reporter back and forth at Big 12 Media Days and those guys kind of getting after each other just a little bit. And Bobby, I mentioned to JP, I was like, now without Sorsby in the mix, in that conference, what's exciting about the Big 12? Is it still Colorado? Is it Oklahoma State this year with their new quarterback and their new guys coming in? When you look at the Big 12, Bobby, is there anything you're juiced up about now that the Sorsby stuff's kind of put to bed?
Well, two things from this. Number one, like, and I understand Yormark and what he's tasked to do, and like, let's get the focus back on the teams that are here and everything. But he's like, this isn't the time to talk about this. You know, we'll talk about this at another time, I think is what he said. And I would, your boy, the follow-up king, well, when is the time to talk about it? Are you going to host another presser like before the season where you can answer all the questions about why you sued Texas Tech and why Cincinnati wasn't getting really any look at this when they knew about it? Like, where are we at with all of this stuff? And so I get it, but your job, like, you're not coaching any game. Coaches can say, like, I'm moving on because I got to coach a game. Brett Yormark, your job as the commissioner is you're basically the PR champ. Like, that's basically what the commissioners are now. You go out there and, like, steer the narrative of things. And then, you know, and I know you'll appreciate this, Joshua, where coaches, like, kind of push like they push their agenda onto you. So I was talking with EJ Manuel about this as he was speaking yesterday on XM, and Joey McGuire comes out and he's like, yeah, you know, Hammond, we really have a lot of confidence in him. We just, you know, we were bringing in Sorsby as like an insurance policy, as if like he was going to be the backup if Hammond was ready. Like, it's a $5 million insurance policy, dude. It's pretty expensive. So, you know, and we think, we feel pretty good that Hammond's going to be ready for week one. I'm like, okay, now you're just throwing that evil on him. Like, hey, if you're not ready, people are going to say, like, what, you didn't rehab hard enough? You're not tough? All these different things. Like, that's really not fair to the kid or young man as well. So I still think Texas Tech, even without Sorsby, like, they can still be the villain, you know? Like, A-Rod left the Yankees, but the Yankees are still the villain because they're still spending more money than anybody else.
No doubt. Bobby, as always, we appreciate your time, my man, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one, brother.
Yeah, you guys try to keep it between the lines. You know, I listen to the show when you guys are on there. It starts to get a little squirrely, you know?
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I'm just saying, you know, you guys, you're very similar ages, you know, and it's
similar,
like,
complexions. Is that what you're hinting at, Bobby?
Are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to make an assertion that because you guys are both black, that's what
I never said it? I never said it.
Don't try to lead me down this road. And I'm just going to say it, Joshua. If you know that, I don't give a darn about
it. I know you don't,
guys.
Bobby. I know you don't.
Exactly.
Oh,
I'm
man.
I'm not going to let you closetly call me a racist.
I'm not calling you that, Bob. You know I'm joking.
I know you do. I know you do, and that's why I'm going to go back at you with, like, saying that maybe Oxford's hard to recruit to for some people because maybe they don't feel comfortable there.
I wouldn't go down there, Bobby.
Like, what?
I'm not sending James down there.
You say that, if they say, hey, little James, we're going to get you about a $2 million signing bonus to come down there, Joshua. How does that sound?
Well, hopefully the Upman's got some money in it, so we're not concerned about that, Bobby.
There you go. Love you guys.
Love you, too. There he goes, Bobby Carpenter. Join us via the Brian Eating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. We'll hit the finish line of the show next. We'll tell the truth with Rothman and Ice. Right benefits.
Buckeye Replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
Holy Buckeye. This week, it's the 2002 edition of Ohio State at Purdue.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, let's rock. What do you got to tell the truth today, my man?
All right, I was once told early on in my career that when off-air conversations make their way on air, that's when people get fired. But I think I'm safe on this one, so I'm going to bring it anyway.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Me and Bobby almost did that.
Let me sit up in my segment. Chair. Where are we going right now?
It ain't that bad.
Okay.
I'm curious.
So,
what do you got?
This is my first day at work this week, and it's to my understanding that both producers who filled in for me are pro bachelor, bachelorette joint parties.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Reimer.
Jacob Reimer had his.
And Zeke.
And Zeke has his in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's to my understanding that the two hosts sitting in those chairs over there on that side of the glass are anti-joint bachelor-bachelorette parties.
We share a similar belief in this and what it's rooted in.
Right. Mistrust.
I think that's the case.
Not always, but that's the general vibe that I think is taken away from that. I'm not insinuating or pointing any fingers in any situations here. Some people genuinely just have that one friend group. And both people are a part of it. And so it makes sense to do everybody at the same time. That's fine.
The way I'm looking at it, if you can't trust your partner who you're about to marry to be away from you for one night, you shouldn't be getting married.
So what if it's not the person that you're getting married to? What if their friends are the folks who were at the Chris Brown Usher concert in Cleveland?
Oh.
That level.
I haven't seen any pictures or videos from last night.
I've seen from other stops.
Okay.
I've seen all I need to see.
Seen enough.
You can't trust the friends. Then what is... How does that factor?
Here's what I think.
You don't trust the association.
That's right.
Like, uh-oh. If the friends are going to get into trouble...
Like, the friends are dirty dogs.
Regardless of the dogs and how dirty they are. the responsibility falls back at the feet of your partner still, no matter what. And so if you don't trust your partner to have a solo bachelorette or bachelor party, to me,
shouldn't be getting married. I'm sorry. What if it's the idea that you know your partner is going to maybe have themselves in a compromised situation trying to save the friend that's a mess?
Example?
So you're saying, like, if I'm about to marry someone, her friend is, let's just call it outside, in the streets, as they say.
Right.
And she's trying to babysit her?
And now the woman that you're getting ready to marry is around a whole bunch of dudes in bottle service trying to make sure that the friend doesn't get in trouble.
I don't have a problem with that.
I feel like it's a tough spot. I don't necessarily, but I just the whole vibe of it looks funny.
I actually think I would like that from my girl if she did that. That she was the responsible one.
I don't know, man.
She, on her bachelor trip, she's looking out.
I'm going to put it like this. If I had a friend who didn't know how to behave around women, and there was a picture of me trying to pull this man from the middle of a group of women that got sent back to my wife one way or another.
You're a hero.
No, I'm not a hero.
You're saving.
She's like, why are you around all of these strange women? I'm trying to help my friend. Your friend is grown. Don't help.
Babe, I got the receipts. Look at me.
I know, but she's just like, I don't want you doing all that.
I'm not partaking in anything other than trying to save my friend.
I don't necessarily think that's a terrible way to be.
I just think this is supposed to be for you and your friends and me and my friends.
I'm here for the do your separate trips, but there are a lot of things to be concerned with. It's not just the individual.
Okay.
I think the friend thing is, I've got some friends who are a mess. Let me just put it like that.
Some friends that could be influencers.
Not influencing me, but some friends that definitely I got to go save.
Okay.
Now I'm running up in the strip club. It's 3 a.m. I don't want to be there. I should be asleep right now.
I've been there.
I'm trying to pull guys out of there.
I've been there.
What are we talking about?
Been in the strip club at 3 a.m.?
Oh. We went to Vegas for a bachelor trip, and I remember the sun was up when we left one establishment.
That is something that I've done a couple of times, like literally two. I don't believe in it.
It's also one of those situations to where you go out so late anyway. You're starting your night so late, right?
Like
you're starting your pregame at 10:30, 11.
So
you know what I mean?
Were you big tipping when you were in there? Like, what was the...
The pregame starts at 10:30 or 11.
You got to think, like, out in Vegas and in Miami, like, the clubs aren't closing until 3, sometimes 4
and
in the morning.
And if you're in Vegas, you've already done, like, 40 million things leading up to the pregame.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask. Well, fair enough. But
see,
like,
that's when you got to squeeze in a nap.
That's okay.
So you
now,
got,
all right, now I see you, the vision.
So you got to squeeze in a nap. So I like to do things in the morning, early afternoon.
Yeah.
Get you an hour or two nap, and then you got the rest of the night to do whatever you want.
This is a clean living guy because there are people who would find a guy on the corner with some substances that wouldn't nap. Just take some of those. You'll be wired. This is not a suggestion. It's not something that I've done, but it's what people do.
But it's something that I've noticed when I've gone out of town with people and we go out and have dinners and all that. The nights start a lot later. And so you being out till 4 or 5 in the morning, it's not as crazy as it sounds.
When you're in there, are you tipping? Like, or are you just kind of back enjoying the ambiance?
It depends on my vibe that day, and it depends on the conversations that are had.
So when you were making it rain, was it singles or 20s?
Because I don't believe.
Please tell me singles.
Definitely wasn't 20s.
Thank you.
Definitely.
That's why I don't go to those establishments.
I've also never made it rain anywhere. I think that is purely I'm competing with another man in this establishment to, you know, try to show how dominant or much of a boss I am. I think that's all it is.
He made it mist. It's a little sprinkle.
Oh, man.
That's a one-hitter quitter.
There is
only one topic today.
It's a good topic. It's a good topic. There's Tell the Truth for today. Just a reminder, you miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you got to do is type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3 will be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. JP, appreciate you again. TLC, it's good to see you again. Folks, have a great day. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at high noon. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. Nicole Sheeran at 3:30. Jeff Rimmer, 5:30. We're Rothman and Ice.